Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. Where's my mouse? There's the intro. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da.
I love the intro.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba.
The intro is like my favorite thing.
The Crippled System intro?
Oh, I'm sorry. It is a cool thing. But were I was you thinking about the Gary Busey's? Yes.
Oh. The Busey's from the... Oh, I was going to get a glass. I guess I could just drink out of the bottle.
Yeah.
You could just drink out of the bottle, but we are live now. Hey, welcome to Crippled System, episode 219. Nathan has left the building.
That's not prime. 73 times 3.
Yep.
He's true. He's right.
The math checks out.
Hey, welcome to the Crippled System podcast. My name is Andy. I play blacksmiths and Kador.
I'm Dave, and I play Kador and Rhett, I think.
I'm Jeff, and I play Trollblood.
I'm Ben, I play engineers and Kador.
Got a lot of Kador all of a sudden.
Well, I don't actually play Kador, it just is I felt left out.
You still own it?
I still own it, so.
And I'm Nathan, and I play Mulligan Scoyotel.
What?
I play Mulligan Scoyotel.
What?
That's a Gwent thing.
I play Scoyotel as my faction, and the deck I use is Mulligan.
Ah.
A lot of my cards mulligan each other, and they have effects that trigger when you mulligan them, and so it's really cool.
Hmm. Oh. Welcome to our fifth year.
Ooh, 5 years.
Starting the fifth year of the Crippled System podcast.
We should have noisemakers and poppers.
No, we don't.
I just winded myself by getting...
just running up the stairs? Welcome to the fifth year of the Crippled System podcast, where Nathan runs out of breath. Oh my God. Stairs, they're a thing.
Yeah, welcome to the fifth anniversary. We're all old now. Deal with it.
Yeah, hard to believe that we started this fucking thing in 2012.
Yeah. I only got two more years in me.
For this podcast?
No, for life.
Oh, okay.
Did you get one of those gypsy fortunes from a machine or something?
My expectation... First of all, it's Roma, you racist bastard. Yeah. No, it's... it's America. We can say gypsy and plead ignorance. No, I've just told Raylene for years that I ain't hitting 40.
No, you'll hit 40.
Like a brick wall.
It's pretty much how I hit 40.
It's his retirement like plan.
I mean, if I can hit it, you can hit it.
I just got winded running to get a glass. I that's not a long life ahead of me.
No, just don't run to get glasses anymore. And you'll be fine.
Fair enough.
Yeah, this is how growing old actually works.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't try the bourbon yet. So I've been...
What's this bourbon? I thought it was apple juice.
Yes, this is Blanton's, the original single barrel of bourbon whiskey. It's my personal favorite bourbon.
This bourbon delicious. Whiskey dumped on June 26, 2014 from barrel number 120. Dumped? I mean, that's not a very palatable word.
It's good stuff, though.
Sure. Stored in warehouse H on Rick number 9. On Rick? Yeah, Rick. That says Rick.
Well, I mean, the first 8 Ricks weren't so good.
Yeah.
There are so many terms I'm learning today.
93 proof.
I mean, it's not a good sales pitch in that bottle. We dumped this on Rick number 9. Fantastic.
Take that, Rick.
Rick was asking for it.
So this is a culmination of today, which just involved me getting a bunch of people together. So we hung around the house, and some of us played some board games in the basement. Some of us played some PS4 games that I thought we were streaming up until like the last half hour of it.
You weren't streaming until then?
Nope. Travis goes like, what streams are going? I'm like,
none of them?
Major Tuss was going. We were playing Worms. It's like, none of them are working now. I'm like, oh.
Wah, wah, bah, bah.
I did see it did play part of the Starwall stuff. So we did have some of that going.
Oh.
Starwall was fun.
Starwall was cool. I thought we were going to have more people playing, but a lot of us just sat around talking for the first hour when we were here.
It's the way and parties generally go.
Yeah. I didn't really plan it to be a party. I smell like barbecue, though. Or not barbecue, just smoke.
Lighter fluid?
Yeah. I cooked a lot of brats. I cooked a lot of burgers.
We were afraid Andy would be lit on fire.
No, I'm fine. I'm always good.
Afraid or hopeful?
Afraid because I didn't have the phone ready to record.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, you don't want to catch the aftermath of a flame.
Yeah. It's
the before, the anticipation, the during, but you never want to capture the aftermath, because that just gets to the sad part.
Yeah, it's depressing like that. Yeah, you catch some fire, you play some funny music, and you cut away to puppies or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary Busey.
No, something happy, something nice.
I'm saying this not probably nightmare fuel.
I would agree. I would be happy with a quick cut to a Busey.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy with that.
Oofta.
That's the story of my funeral. I want a quick cut to a Busey.
Gary Busey can just do your memorial, your eulogy.
Oh my
God.
If I can get Gary Busey to do my eulogy, it would be, I would kill myself right now.
You open the casket, it's Gary Busey inside of there.
Scary Busey?
That too.
Get yourself buried in a Gary Busey mask.
Oh. Barry Busey?
Gary Busey.
Buried Busey.
No, yeah. Barry Busey, Scary Busey after you've been Barry Busey'd.
That way when you rise as a zombie, you'll be a Gary Busey zombie.
See, that's the kind of thing you want to leave on the tombstone, so in 10,000 years when people stumble across, like, what's going on here?
Yes.
Apparently there was this, you know, ancient Gary Busey figure people revered.
Busey.
All right.
Busey.
So you Busey.
I have no real topics at all. I just wanted to have this day to drink and have brats and play games with friends.
Yeah.
And watch the Packers lose.
Are they losing?
I don't know. They were down 13-0 when I got here.
Oh, I didn't. They should be done by now then.
Yes. I mean, they were done four weeks ago.
They were done just like a millisecond after Rodgers' collarbone went snap.
Ooh, it was a real tight game.
Snapping his collarbone.
As we're all pausing to go look up the traffic.
It was only 23-0
really?
The fucking Ravens.
I think the Badgers won.
Sure, yeah, because their quarterback's collarbone didn't shatter.
Tends to make you play a game better.
Yeah. Yeah, it's difficult to play when you're in stabbing agony and crippled.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Head title crippled your sex system. Tape. Bring it back.
Whoa!
Full circle.
Whoa!
I have, Ben, I got an email with somebody who was begging to let us have the new blacksmiths thing on thing. Yeah.
I have several people from the area who are quite angry with me by the fact that I told them that they couldn't play with their new farmer toys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he had like an 8-point argument for why it should be allowed. And point number one was that at SteamCon, they sold them and then allowed them at that event. It's like, that's true because everyone at that event had equal access to the models.
Yeah.
that's why. Conventions allow the events that are released there.
I haven't gone to many conventions that had. I mean, really, the only convention I've really gone to that had like a something like that was War Machine.
Yeah,
I
and mean, they're legal there, they're and legal then they're there. Not legal again until retail.
Until retail date. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the way the remember organized play says.
No,
so.
Like you know.
Yeah, like you know. You even know. Like you even know.
I'm just following the rules.
Yeah.
So.
No, I wasn't talking about you. Sorry, it was an inside joke type thing. Not really a joke. The person's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name any names.
That's fair.
It's Tamwolf.
Travis, looking at the chat here, picked up some stuff for Who's the Boss, and he is excited to resolve that event. I have never seen that verb used
resolve
in that situation.
That
resolve.
As part of the email chain between the host location and us, I can tell you he's using the right verb. It's a wonderful venue. It's a little cat herdy trying to get them to lock down dates and times and stuff.
Oh. Is this the Elk Lodge? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Good venue, but a bunch of confused old people.
This is not something that I'm privy to at all. I have no idea what's going on. Well, other than
it's
I'm running
fine.
The event.
85% certain we'll be able to run the event there.
Just let me know the day before.
That's not good odds.
It's better than not 85. Better than 15.
It's true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's mathematically true.
I mean, assuming you want the number to happen.
Of course, of course.
If you were at a Vegas casino, those would be great odds.
Mm-hmm. 85%, yeah, see? Come on, man. Come on.
We're not going to Vegas this thing.
We could.
Yeah.
It would save me a trip of carrying a ton of fucking miniatures to Milwaukee.
Travis says it'll be there one way or another, which is great. Like, if they say no, we're just going to, like, storm it like the Uruk-hai at Helm's Deep and demand to play our games.
We can play in Travis's basement.
Should be able to fit everyone in there.
We could fit at least two tables on his on the pool table.
Yeah.
And three tables. Four. We could probably scrounge around four.
And how many tables do the miniatures and the wheel take up?
Oh, shit. No. No problem.
And the alcohol?
You don't need the wheel or a table to put the miniatures out on, because what you do is you just get like a burlap sack. And you just dump all the models in there, and people just dig around and pull one out.
How about I've got 2/3 of a card chev and Haley's left arm.
Ooh, that's the new way the game works. You get her weapon. Yeah.
No. Do we get it from your burlap sacatorium, too? Bring that around for 5 years?
Oh, man. Sacatorium. That is from, like, the first episode, I think.
Wow.
Callback.
Nice.
I remembered listening to that recently. I just, you know, took a gander at it.
Arctic Circle asking whether I'm going to do God Tier. God Tier being Steamforged's new game that it's kind of a Mordheim-esque progression.
Actually spelled that way?
Yes. Well, wait, not tear.
Well, that's tier like a tear from your eye.
I believe it is. Tier.
Yep.
So.
Not like as in level, but as in from your eye.
Yes.
And one word.
Supposedly,
it could be God Tier.
No, it's God Tier.
So, like, God cried?
Yep.
Yes. A tear.
Well, I mean, it's ambiguous, so I'm just going to declare that it's God tear.
No,
it's go the tear.
They did even pronounce better. It in the keynote, and it was God tear, but they're British, so who knows? It could be anything.
They were talking about, basically, you have heroes and, like, a small little... It's like character units for War Machine. But they gain powers as they get the God tiers. Basically, it's... Gods have died in this world, and they've left behind, you know, remnants of themselves, which they call God tears, and that's what they use to build up. It's supposedly going to be like kind of like a Mordheim-esque type thing, but it's going to be really tied to Steamforged. Supposedly, it's going to be a lot of dynamic updates for all the characters. I don't know how specifically they're going to be doing that, if they're going to have an app or something like that, but there's going to be a lot of updates for characters.
So this is just like fragments of gods, parts of gods, as if they were torn off?
So it's just ice. It's like a league for just ice. Some kind of just ice league.
Uh-huh.
Yes, okay. That's exactly what it is. Uh-huh. So, uh-huh. Yes... I will be trying it out.
How do I end this podcast?
I think we killed the podcast. It's been a good 5 years.
Yeah. Ours ended with Justice League.
Oh, that if you put the word...
Just ice. You put that together, it's justice.
Nice.
I see what you did there.
I didn't actually do it. League. I stole that blatantly. That's from the half in the bag this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I saw Justice League. Anyone else?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I actually went on purpose. I'm a big DC person, so that does not mean I like most DC movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, as a big DC person, I would avoid the DC movies.
That's brave of you to admit that.
Oh, yeah. I will admit that I did not absolutely loathe Batman versus Superman, and so that puts me in, like, the 1% of the 1%.
Now, are we talking director's cut?
Because
director's cut takes it from an F to, like, a D plus.
I haven't seen the director's cut, but I've seen a couple of the scenes from there.
Is that what?
Yeah,
whatever the R,
the extended cut, whatever they want to call it. If you watched it on DVD, you probably saw that.
As Jim has said, and I almost agree with Jim, it is much better in Spanish.
Most things are.
Yeah.
Justice League was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's you could easily pick it apart. I won't say that it's a perfect movie by any means, but it's. Was really kind of fun. You could tell that Joss Whedon had a big part in it, rewriting things and making them palatable. But it was good. I liked it.
Spoiler alert! Did the un-CGI'd mustache, did that throw you off?
My wife was watching it with me and said, "That's not the guy who plays Superman." And I was like, yeah, that you've seen those movies, right? Because she hasn't seen Batman versus Superman. Positive for her,
lucky one,
exactly.
Yeah, lucky person.
And she's like, it doesn't look like him. And then afterwards, she's like, yeah, his face looks all screwed up. And I was like, you have no knowledge whatsoever about this, but yeah, his face looked a little bit off at points. So, I didn't notice it as much as she did, but it bothered the hell out of her. So
what was this?
He had grown a mustache for the reshoots, and so they CGI'd the mustache off instead of having him shave it.
Oh, he was also shooting the new Mission Impossible movie at the same time, and I guess it's key to his character or key to something.
I feel like it'd be easier to CGI a mustache on than off.
Or practical effects a mustache on.
Yeah. Spirit gum a mustache on.
Or wait a week and let him grow it back out.
Exactly. So I haven't seen the actual mustache that he has, but
I think
he definitely
pretty bushy.
I might be one of the only people that when they announced that Whedon was coming in to do reshoots was just like, oh no. Because I have decided that I am Whedoned out. Like when Age of Ultron came out and it started and like the first scene they're fighting in the woods and they're like quipping about swearing and oh my goodness, did you hear Captain America? I'm like, shut up. Just shut up. Shut up.
It's not that bad.
But like,
I understand what you're saying.
That's him cranking it to 11. Like he's usually not, but that was the most Whedon-esque quippy scene and I just wanted to burn the theater down around me because it annoyed me to death.
There was a great Batman quip in there that actually worked really well, but I would say it's Whedon at about an 8.
Okay.
So
yeah, what?
I just realized that the window's open. Yeah.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fuck a lot you, of people neighbors.
No, I'm fine with that.
But no, yeah, I just remember that like when Age of Ultron started, I was just like, shut up.
Yeah, I understand.
But it got better after that.
Mm-hmm. So I recommend it. That would be my early recommendation. So it's worth seeing.
How sober were you when you watched it?
I was completely. It was. I was completely sober, and it was at 10:30 in the morning, so it was only $4 to see it. So
I remember most of The Mummy, speaking of movies drunk.
I haven't seen that one. So
much that we couldn't release the movie Pain Train from that. We never did.
I never did? You could have.
I could have. But
I was mostly sober.
We basically, in a way, we both ended up just quoting pretty much the Half in the Bag episode.
They made good points.
They made good points. But that's pretty much it. It's like, watch what Half in a Bag. That's what The Mummy was. We need to do more. We should do one on the Justice League tomorrow. Or on Tuesday. Go see it for $5.
I close Tuesday. I have Wednesday off. I could see it in the morning, but you work Wednesday.
I can have Wednesday off easily.
It was definitely worth $5.
I would pay $5 for that movie. Mm-hmm.
Would you pay $10 for it?
No.
Because you could pay $10 for both of us to see it.
No. No, the Rotten Tomatoes are not bad on it. I mean, it's solid.
So it's like a 30, a nice high DC.
38, I think. It's somewhere around there. But the audience score is like 98, which it's always weird when you have that giant gap between the two.
It appears that the audiences like the film much more than the critics do.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's
usually the case in the first couple of weeks anyways.
Excuse me.
I was going to say, it's like the weird thing about Rotten Tomatoes is like, movies that you wouldn't expect to be top movies are really top on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, this disparity, the disparity comes because what'll happen is a movie will come out that's artsy fartsy brilliant, mm-hmm. and then audiences are like, "This is confusing and dumb. Where's Transformers?" And they'll give it a thumbs down. And then it goes the other way because you get a movie like Justice League that is terrible. But people shoving popcorn in their mouth who are big fans of DC go, it's okay. It's $5, which is a fine review, but that's not – a critic isn't going to say that.
No.
Yeah,
critic won't say, $5, have a beer.
We talked about this on the podcast before. Then how do you explain Face Off?
I can't explain anything about Face Off.
Face Off is a masterwork.
Face Off is, I think, like 90-some percent fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
So bad.
I'd say it was a good masterwork.
I think it was, like Rotten Tomatoes does their like top tens, like top best movies of this actor. And I think it was like the top best movies of John Travolta.
Well, I can believe that.
And I was
that's just because he sucks.
And I was just looking through it, and like one of the top movies was in there for Face Off. And I'm like, wait, what is that? Face Off's 92%? What? Makes no fucking sense.
Okay, I like Face Off, but 92 is way too high.
It's not a 92% movie.
Someone is that dedicated to keep going back to start upvoting it again and again. Like, movie's got to be the best thing ever.
Is that the audience score or the
critic score? The critic score for Face Off.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, Face Off kind of predated Rotten Tomatoes, so I mean, they're doing a historical thing, so there may be some.
there's a ton of reviews on it for it. They aggregated the previous scores.
It's just my lord. But Rotten Tomatoes is so flawed. Like, they show examples. Speaking of the half and the bad guys, they had in their Spooky Doll Annabelle Creations one. They talked a little bit about Rotten Tomatoes and how it doesn't necessarily always make sense. And one of the things they showed was two reviews for a movie, and both reviewers gave it a 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. And Rotten Tomatoes had one of them flagged as fresh and one as rotten.
Oh, really?
And they both gave a 3 out of 5.
Huh.
Like, what? Yeah.
By their logic, shouldn't that be fresh for both of them?
Or at least be consistent. Yeah. But even then, like, they'd have somebody who gave a movie like a 62%, and they would flag that as rotten, even though in their grading, 60% or above is fresh.
Weird.
Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Yep.
And apparently they get Face Off a 90 something, so they
92%.
92% tomato meter, 82% audience.
Yep.
At least the audience is smart enough to not give it a 92.
I would give that movie at least a 70%.
I put in like 75, 80, somewhere in there.
It's entertaining. Nathan doesn't like it because it involves just child abduction and also child reprogramming, too. Yeah. It's like, suddenly, nope, you're my kid now.
Your name's Steve now.
We're going to call you Steve.
I mean, no, what I will say is that Face Off is a solid 35% that's ironically enjoyable.
Mm.
Like, I would drunk watch Face Off and enjoy myself, but it is actually a shit movie.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, but I can understand the perspective. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my take on most of
films. You haven't
seen
Face Off?
I have not.
Stop the podcast right now.
Sorry, Ben. We're not going to play a game of Guild Ball. We're going to watch Face Off after this. Nathan's going home.
After we just spent the last 10 minutes discussing how terrible the movie it is.
The movie's great. No. We're talking the movie is great, but we think that the critics made it too big.
Yes. 92 is way too big.
92 is like, what's Citizen Kane?
I think Thor is the 92, the new Thor.
Thor's up.
Yeah, but that movie didn't suck.
Yeah, I've heard it's good. I haven't seen it yet.
You saw Justice League, but you didn't see Thor 3?
Yeah.
He did confess he's a DC fan.
I'm Thor a DC 3 fan. Is awesome. I do prefer the movies for DC and... I'm sorry, that's the other way around.
Okay.
Thor Ragnarok is 92%. Thor Ragnarok is as good as Face Off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
And the movies for Marvel, because clearly the Marvel movies are better than the DC movies.
Piss off, Ghost!
But
Thor 3.
That is like one of the most quotable films.
Yes.
Oh no, he's alive again.
I want him. I looked up who did the voice because I was wondering if it was like one of the Flight of the Conchords guys or something. Sure. It's the director.
Yeah.
Of Thor 3. It's the director of Thor 3, who also directed a bunch of the Conchord stuff. He's the one who directed What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, that would explain why it sounds that way.
Hunt for the fucking Wilder People. Fucking's not part of the title, but Hunt for the Wilder People is an amazing film that was directed by the guy who did Thor 3. Everybody should see it.
No, Nathan, sorry. Citizen Kane is 100% on the tomato meter.
That's weird. That movie sucks.
So Citizen Kane...
it does.
For the record, Citizen Kane is better than Face Off.
What a snow... the sled.
Spoilers!
Spoilers! Jesus.
Spoilers.
Statue of Limitations is not passed on Citizen Kane.
Yeah, look at Mr. Fifth... or not Fifth Element, Sixth Sense over here.
Yeah, I got that spoiled by a B. Adam Sandler flick.
Yeah. Made a reference to a decade-old movie and spoiled it for you.
Yep.
You can't complain at that point.
Which you have to ask, why was Andy Welton even watching 51st States? I was watching 51st States.
Oh, 51st States.
Yeah.
I thought you said 51st States. I'm like, isn't that a board game, 51st States?
No, that's the one that Jeremy invented, yes.
51st States was surprisingly not terrible as long as you don't think about the ending too much.
I don't even remember the ending. I just remember they spoiled
She
wakes up one day, like, on a boat, and there's, like, a cassette tape saying, play me, and it explains the fact that she's married and has, like, a 6-year-old kid now.
Yeah.
Think of the fucking nightmare that her life is.
Think of the pregnancy.
The pregnancy. Like, when she wakes up 8 months pregnant, like, what? What? And every day, like, leading up to pregnancy, like, did he just have to, like, try to really catch her up on everything quickly and then bang her? Like, she only met this guy this morning. He's like, oh, we're totally married. You just don't remember. Now let's fuck.
It's very like you can take it a step back and create a terrible dystopian future off of that premise alone.
Yeah.
You could have done it Memento and style and just reversed it the entire thing.
So. Memento. So good.
Movie.
So good.
What's that on Rotten Tomatoes?
If that fucker ain't above 92, I'll take it.
Everyone share their phones.
See, the thing is, you guys just need to look up slightly less masterpieceful movies one at a time and see where we break below Face Off. Memento. When he's running and he's like, what am I doing? Why am I running? Oh, that guy's running. I must be chasing that guy. And then the guy shoots him. He's like, nope, he's chasing me.
Yeah, I mean, clearly what we need is to kickstart a sequel to 51st Dates that's like takes place in one of the mornings and is an existential horror film.
Sure, yes. Just this Kafka-esque nightmare.
Turn an action movie. She starts stabbing her way off of the boat. You know, swims to shore, wakes up the next day.
Yeah, and it's like Total Recall where they're all trying to talk her down, and you have to decide whether she really is married and if that really is her kid.
Or
you don't know.
Or is having an incident.
Yeah.
What happened next? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, huh? Huh? Mm-hmm. What's Memento, Dave? Type faster.
He keeps getting searches for
Memento. You
haven't
seen Memento? Mm-mm. You should see Memento.
Mm-hmm. It has, should I watch it in reverse?
It has, I don't know whether to answer that yes or no, because...
I already know what it's on.
But the DVD does let you play both directions.
Yep.
It has the most dramatic looking for... It is exactly the same, isn't it?
Exactly it's exactly the same as Face Off. God damn it. 92%.
It has the most dramatic looking for a pen scene you will ever see in a film.
Oh, that's great.
As his memory is losing.
Well, somebody's like, hey, by the way, I fucked you over and I'm evil. Ha ha. And, oh, I hid all the pens and pencils in my house. Ha ha. And he's just like, and then he forgets.
My favorite, so I've never seen Memento, but I've seen probably one of my favorite episodes ever of Blue Mountain State, which is a direct correlation.
Oh my god!
Of Memento.
Oh.
What?
His head's gonna explode.
What? Oh brother, where art thou? Is 77%.
So what?
What?
Oh brother, where art thou? Is 77%.
Yeah.
They are claiming the rotten
critics at the very least. Like you could say, like people in the audience are stupid fucking idiots, but the critics should 100% anything Coen Brothers, except maybe like that.
Yes, Rotten Tomatoes is now
there's
making
a
the claim
in there.
Is making the are claim there, that Face Off is 15% better than Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I disagree.
Like I even like their remake of Lady Killers. I think it's hilarious.
It's not bad.
A lot of people hate Intolerable Cruelty.
Yeah,
I don't
that's
mind
what
Intolerable
I was
Cruelty.
About. Intolerable
it's very
cruelty
different.
Is terrible.
Now I did hate Hail Caesar, but I think that wasn't the movie's fault. Okay. I've talked about this before on the podcast, so I won't go into it. But it was an expectation thing. So
nice thing about it being a fifth anniversary is everything you talk about from earlier podcasts is just callbacks. So you can just repeat topics over and over again. Stories
exactly.
You've told, it's fine.
I mean, if we actually talk about War Machine, that's a callback then?
No.
Because we've never done that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like, you know how that guy sued the movie theaters because he went and saw Drive because the trailer made it look like a Fast and the Furious movie?
And it really did.
That was me with Hail Caesar.
Okay, that's fair.
So...
You were expecting something completely different.
I was expecting something different, yeah.
I like Burn After Reading.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Burn After Reading's good.
That's got David Rash about the security of your shit.
I love David Rash, and I wish he was in more things.
Yeah.
I will say that 99% of Coen Brothers movies are pure genius.
Have you watched any of the Fargo shows?
I haven't. It's on my queue of stuff
to
watch.
You need to.
Okay, I'm going to have to yell at people in the chat because Arctic Circle just said the argument could be made that Oh Brother is just a retelling of Homer's work.
Yes, that's the point.
Yeah, that's the joke.
The fact that you could tell that to somebody, they'd be like, well, wait, oh!
So two things. Number one, that's not an argument. That's literally what it is. They've never hidden that.
It opens with Homeric verse. I mean, yes, it is.
And the actual thing to point out is that neither of them ever read the Odyssey, so they had no idea. They just pieced up the adaptation based on stuff they'd heard about. They're like, there's a Cyclops, I think, right? Is it a Cyclops? It might be a Cyclops. And so they threw a Cyclops in there. They had never read the damn thing.
I love John Goodman's his KKK robe.
Was
his hood that's only got
missing the eye, yes.
You know what? You pretty much can just say... cut it at, I love John Goodman.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And leave it there, God, especially in relation to Coen Brothers. So.
Well, and just in general, the most recent movies with Mikey was about 10 Cloverfield Lane, and he gushes about Goodman in that one as well. Goodman's so fucking good.
I hated that movie.
You hated
really?
It?
I really that- did.
God, I loved it.
I know a lot of people hated the ending for it, but I loved everything else about that.
The ending
that
feels
film.
Out of place.
I really wanted
to
love it.
Watch the most recent movies with Mikey. He talks about the ending and how it actually is perfect and justified and makes sense.
I'm fine with the ending of it. It just is something about it just did not click with me. I don't know.
Sorry, Ben.
You don't
I mean,
like
I
good
loved,
things?
I think John Goodman was great in it, but for some reason, just the entire thing didn't work for me. I love Cloverfield. I thought it was a great movie. Too.
Non-sarcastic like question. How much of like a Hitchcock fan are you?
I like Hitchcock.
Okay, then I'm just confused then.
Yeah.
Because Tango Over the Lounge just feels like a Hitchcock
Maybe I just
film.
Was in a bad mood for it at that day. Yeah. So I have to go back to watch it again. I think it's on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. He points out that it's actually a superhero origin story in disguise.
Which one? Cloverfield?
10 Cloverfield Lane.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, her superpower is that she's good at seamstressing, but, like, that film is, like, you could see a sequel where she's battling spoilers and, you know, whatever, and that's what the movie's all about, and this is just her origin story.
Yep. I like to think she's literally battling spoilers.
Yeah.
Like she's finding people stitching their mouths shut before they say anything about a movie.
Oh, no, she just rips them off the back of Rice Boy cars.
Yes.
Yeah. No! This does nothing on your Miata! I don't know why she's Ray Romano.
I don't know why you're Ray Romano.
Hey, Windra!
Oh, no!
Oh, the monarch's gonna be pissed!
Are we ever gonna do a podcast where both of us were gonna be like this?
Oh, one of us is Ray Romano and the other one's the Minion!
What? I'm 24. Not 24. I think 27.
20 something.
I'm a skull now.
What's happening right now?
I'm not drinking enough. That's what's happening. Yeah.
Hey!
We should do this as type of a stretch goal. Sometime we'll have the goofy voices.
Hey!
Hey! I could do one as Merman the entire time.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
We were going to do that for a battle report for Monsterpocalypse, but I remembered how to play it sooner than Andy remembered how to play it, and so that battle report was not very even.
When
we both played, Andy beat me pretty consistently. He had a nice list with your guys. You had like the little summoning buildings that would spit out more of your demons and stuff.
Yeah.
You had a nice list, and you know, I mean, not saying you beat me 100% of the time, but you probably had like a 60-40 edge on me.
Possibly.
And then we were like, let's do this. We put it on the table, and I just beat the fuck out of you.
That, not just once. It was like three times in a row. He was like, hey, let's record this. We'll test this out. Like, all right, we're not going to use that one. All right, let's try it. Okay, we're not going to use that one.
And then Andy just packed his stuff up, put it in storage, and abandoned the idea.
Monsterpocalypse was my first miniatures game.
It was?
Oh. Yeah.
Still such a good
game. Such
an amazing game.
Such a good game. I'm really surprised. Who knows how it ended, whatever. You know, we'll never know until, you know, the privateer closes down. And there'll be a be-all, tell-all of how privateer did this and that. But I am very surprised that game was not reskinned as something else.
Oh, yeah.
Just all they have to do is just take the basic rules for it and reskin it as something else. Give us colossals and random troopers and fighting in a city.
And even this, like, I mean, the skin was fine. I just don't.
Great.
The IP wasn't doing badly. They bought the rights to do a Tim Burton film. I mean, it couldn't have been doing that badly. So I don't know if the game just wasn't selling well, or if it was the whole rights debacle people claim. Because that's what you're talking about. Is one of the theories is the rights debacle.
Yeah,
and that's why
they
accidentally need to
sold off. They accidentally sold off either like toy rights for it, in which they considered that the models for the game itself as being toys. So suddenly, whatever company bought the rights for the game suddenly came back and said, hey, where's our cut?
I've heard a lot of rumors.
That's what they all are, is rumors.
Yeah. I mean, the rumor I heard was that plastic prices shot up.
That's true, too. But you have Weird that was... I mean, that's about the time when Weird started deciding that it's going to go full plastic as well. I mean, there's the price of oil, because that's all going into plastic. Cause that's all petroleum-based. So that's probably true too.
Yeah, I think that that would have made a pretty good game, video game too, if they had done that instead of the War Machine game.
Yeah. Or so. They would have gone with the Dynasty Warriors style War Machine game that we saw at
that was pretty
at
cool.
Gen Con, like 2009 or something like that. Yeah. That looked awesome. It I was played that. At the time. At the time, it was oh great, another Dynasty Warriors game. But now looking at it now, we're like, no, we would have probably liked that rather than
well, because now when it came out, it was like, oh great, another XCOM style game. Like they just. Poor Privateer Press, always the second people on a bandwagon.
Company in Iron comes out, and Mordheim gets released again.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Necromunda.
Necromunda's got released. Well,
Necromunda.
All of the level released, 7 games.
And now it's getting released.
Yeah. All the level 7 games came out 3 millionths of a second after the bubble for that style of game burst.
Yep.
Well, and then the last one. Which is actually a pretty good game. We have really honestly yet to play it, but I've heard from a lot of people to play it.
Okay.
The
Risk
the last level 7 game.
Oh yeah, and my point is that at the time it came out just felt like another XCOM, right? Because the XCOM board game came out
I think that month.
Right, and so they just kept getting overshadowed.
Yeah. I wanted to play that game for a while, and we just have yet to really set it up and play.
Okay, so speaking of all of these games coming out, I have a question, and this may just be because I don't really pay attention to Games Workshop anymore.
Sure.
But didn't Necromunda just come out as Shadow War Armageddon?
Yes.
Shadow War Armageddon was its own thing, and they didn't really announce it as Necromunda, but they were kind of teasing that they're talking about coming out with a Necromunda.
But I mean, Shadow War Armageddon was basically the Necromunda rulebook with like sections scratched out with overused art put on top of.
Yes.
It was basically the Shadow War is pretty much using your 40K models in the Underhive in a sense.
Okay. There is not an insignificant amount of overlap between the two games. Correct. You are correct there.
Okay, so what is the difference between Shadow War Armageddon and Necromunda?
One came out already. The other one just came out.
They're supposed to be playable with each other or something like that. I saw something about it.
And they're actually pulling from the gangs from the original Necromunda. So I think it's House Escher and Kaldor, I think, are the two.
As I said, Monsterpocalypse first miniatures game. Yeah. I only recently started playing GW games at all. So,
but they're actually, I'm sorry, instead of going with the 40K stuff, they're actually going with the Necromunda gangs that you saw back.
Okay. So it's basically the same thing as Shadow War Armageddon. It's just that they have the actual rules for the original Necromunda games.
Correct.
Instead of just use your 40K miniatures.
Correct.
And they discovered the Necromunda is a more marketable term.
It's I mean it's. I mean, it has nostalgia for it, too, and it's, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a distinct name, too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Shadow War Armageddon could be just about anything.
Apparently, New Necromunda also uses map tiles. Hmm. So, which
I think they actually have gone away from the actual Underhive aspect.
That's disappointing. That was one of the coolest parts about it.
I think it's actually called Necromunda Underhive, the new release of it, so.
Oh, maybe.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I have not played a Games Workshop game in a long time because the last time I played, I was playing 40K in 6th edition, I think. It's 6th edition at the time. And I bought a friend of mine's Tau, and I should have listened to him when he sold it to me because he said, man, I got to sell this because nobody will play me anymore. And so I took my Eldar and made a list with the splitting with the Eldar and the Tau, and I rolled Fortune as one of my spells on my caster, and I promptly cast Fortune on my broadside unit. And by the third turn in, the guy I was playing was like, okay, so why did we continue this game after you rolled Fortune? And that was the last game of 40K I played because I was like, okay, I don't know why we played this after I rolled Fortune.
What? A 40K game decided at deck building / your first turn? Why, I never.
Oh, it's even worse than that. It's because in 6th edition, I think in 7th edition too, and maybe in 8th, if you have a spellcaster at the beginning of the game, you roll on tables to see which spells you get.
I got the starter for Sigmar at MomCon as one of their achievement tracking prizes type thing.
Iron Arena prize.
Iron Arena, basically, and played it with put it together, and my niece, who's living with us right now, was interested. So I was like, oh, okay, we'll try it out. And she dug it. So thus I've played a little bit of Sigmar, and that's pretty much it. So, yeah.
No, I know Andy and I were both briefly amused or amused slash interested in Age of Sigmar when the first rules came out, and dwarf players got more rerolls if they had a longer beard than their opponent.
Yeah, the really cheesy, cheeky rules that they had. I wasn't interested in playing though, but I was amused at it. That would probably be a better term for it.
Andy, did you see the dwarfs for God tier? I just wanted to check to make sure.
Yep. No, so, I watched
Super Dwarf.
Yep. I watched the that's kind of the cool thing about the God tier thing too, is as your main character gets more God tiers, he actually grows in size, so there's like a gigantic fucking dwarf leading a bunch of other dwarves.
So he's a normal guy?
He's not. He's still proportioned like a dwarf.
So he's a fat guy?
He's like two guys tied together.
Yeah.
Somehow he manages to retain his dwarfiness.
Yeah.
So
he's just a larger scale.
Are they like the Warhammer dwarves where the dwarfiness is strictly not having knees? Right?
Yeah, I guess that's a way of putting it.
I'm just confused how we talked about giant monsters, movies, and video games with nobody mentioning the Rampage trailer.
The Rampage trailer.
What now? Yes, I've seen it.
Did you not see that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Remember Rampage for the NES / the arcade?
It's a movie?
Going to be a movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and the trailer hit the internet a couple days ago. The trailer's square for some reason instead of wide, that so that confused me. But yeah.
I have a question.
Is it a fan-made trailer?
No, they have a lot of money, and The Rock was involved because it was not spliced footage. The Rock definitely is talking about his best friend, Gorilla George, who is growing large and breaking a building along a giant wolf and a giant lizard.
Wait, isn't the gorilla, isn't that a female? Or is that
Lizzie. Lizzie the lizard. Okay. And George the gorilla, and then Ralph the wolf. Yeah. But yeah, no, they...
Nathan, I have a question. Why?
Because game movies, right? Like, and the thing is, every video game movie is usually terrible, so fuck it, Rampage.
I'm telling you what, though. This is the podcast-friendly... This is our favorite, and if you don't like this, you can get off the podcast. Battleship is one of the best.
Yeah, Battleship is a cinematic
movies ever.
I saw everyone look at me. I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, so. Me neither.
So. Let me tell you exactly how the moment when you realize that Battleship is the greatest movie ever.
Okay.
The alien ships fire out the red pegs. the red pegs slam into the human ships like boonk. It's giant red pegs, and then they explode and vaporize the ships.
Oh, that is the best.
Yes, it's the best.
There is a sequence in there which they're tracking somebody by like H1, H2.
Yeah.
I thought Speed Racer was the favorite.
That's not a video
movie of the.
That's not a video game adaptation.
But goddamn, it looks.
We're talking
like a video
about video game.
Game
adaptations.
There's video games of Speed Racer.
Fucking AF. No.
But those are adaptations of the show.
It's true.
I want to see somebody go Lawnmower Man style into Speed Racer, a VR game.
Oh my god, you would throw up so fast.
You just destroy somebody's psyche immediately. They would become Job.
Speaking of movies, I went to see Lawnmower Man 2 in the theater, and that is because we had nothing better to do, and nobody had heard of the movie, and I was like, okay, yeah, we'll see that. And this not only was the only movie that I have ever walked out of in the middle of, but I managed to complain to the owner of the theater that this movie was so terrible, and they eventually actually refunded our tickets for it because the owner of the theater could not justify that movie.
Batman and Robin, I got a refund for.
I tried to walk out of one film. I've told this callback. Anybody remember this? I went to go see a movie with Brian.
Transformers 2?
Nope.
No, that was Jim that wanted to leave. Yeah.
That was Jim that was trying to leave. So Brian and I, we have this thing where when we watch a film, we are always quiet. We always just... We don't talk to each other. We just watch the film.
It's called respect.
It's called respect, yeah. Basically, but anyway, this has forever changed our lifestyle since that point. But Brian and I, we went to go see The Thin Red Line. And it's a movie that came out right after Saving Private Ryan. It tells parts of tales from the Pacific. It's not very good. It's a lot of flashbacks. It has no actual structure. There's a lot of rising action, and then something. There's no actual climax of the film.
It's a beautifully shot movie.
It's a beautifully shot film. It's but it has no climax. Like, I would consider the climax of Saving Private Ryan is with Tom Hanks on the bridge, shot to death, and he's just pulling out his 9mm and shooting at a tank. That would be what I would consider the climax, is when they, you know, when the allies come and rescue them at that last second.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I hate
Upham so much.
Spoiler alert. Thin Red Line doesn't have this. But anyway, long story short, I wanted to leave the film. I didn't tell Brian I wanted to leave the film early.
Did he also want to leave the
Brian
film?
Brian wanted to leave the film, but he didn't tell me that he wanted to leave the film. And as the credits are rolling, I'm like, God damn it. If I didn't know you liked this film, I would have left. And Brian's like, wait, what? I thought you liked this film. I was going to leave. And so now we make it an effort to tell each other if we go see a movie that we should leave.
79% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I know. It's
the artists, the critics like it.
Terrence Malick.
Yeah, it's I hate inner dialogue in films. Inner dialogue in films, it just bothers the fuck out of me. The only movie I actually like it in, Nathan's probably going to jump over the table and slap me, I only like it in Dune. That's the only movie I like inner dialogue in, is Dune.
To answer the chat real quick, there's no consensus about Justice League because only Ben saw it, and he is such a good-hearted soul that he would never say mean things even if he hated it.
Oh, yes, I would.
Okay, but he's such a DC fanboy that he liked it.
I do like DC, and I did like it, I would not say it's the best movie.
I heard
world.
A story about somebody going and seeing it. One of my Facebook friends said they went and saw it, and like Batman and Wonder Woman started to flirt, and this lady down the aisle was just like, no!
That is great.
Which is about the right response to, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's comic book background for that. But yeah.
She is not, so old, though.
Not great comic book background, but there is comic book background for
it's
that.
It's not that. Oh, my God. Like, I dealt with it with Gamora. You know, I survived because...
I thought you said Gamora.
Gamora, you know, like I understood they had to turn Gamora into a sex symbol, you know?
I mean, just a turtle.
A sweet ass shell, turtle. Right? Stupid sexy turtle. He's hot. Get it, literally, you just flame. Yeah, so you got it. But like, Black Widow has been romantically involved with, what, 4 of the fucking Avengers now?
Pretty much.
You know, and so if Wonder Woman is indeed flirting with Batman, or if they have her hook up with Superman, like, fine, you know, that's that. And Gamora and Peter Quill, of course, they have to end up together. It's like, just let a chick just be a chick. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have to be someone for the dude to fuck. Please?
Yeah.
No, just I agree with you. I like fucking chicks, you know, I understand, but I would love if one ensemble movie ever, which is like, yeah, they're an equal member who happens to have internal genitals, who cares?
It's so minor in the movie that it's, I mean, it's
I just know next movie somebody's going to fuck the Valkyrie from Thor. No way that doesn't happen. Or they'll just kick her off the show. But there's no way that she's in another movie and doesn't end up somebody's romantic interest.
They cut the scene that where she was going to be bisexual.
Yeah, I know, I heard that.
So...
So then she and Black Widow could... I would have preferred... No. She and Black Widow could hook up and I'd be fine with that.
Are you sure? Because I could have sworn that she mentioned something to the fact of going back to her...
It's alluded to...
I haven't seen the movie,
that
so...
It's alluded to that she might be a lesbian, the whole bisexual scene.
I could have sworn that she had mentioned something of her wife, or not her wife, but her...
There's a woman of significant interest to her, but we don't know if it's romantic or not.
I don't even remember that.
Because I remember there and talk about how she, in interviews prior to the film, said that the character was bisexual.
Yeah.
And then there was that, according to all the articles, there was nothing in the film...
There was something that was still in there that still alluded to it.
In one of the flashbacks,
she watches
one of
a woman die, but right. I mean, that's companionship, right?
Right. I mean, it's not necessarily romantic.
Yeah, that's true. I think it was one of, you're right. Yeah. It was in one of the flashbacks.
It can be perceived that way, but it's not explicitly that way.
That specific Valkyrie that was dying was a romantically linked one, sure.
Right.
Yeah, and honestly, it didn't matter to me either.
But it would be nice to have 2 seconds, you know? Like, that could have been the thing that broke her, is saying, you know, say someone precious to me, you know, was lost, and that's when I broke or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So... The one movie that I've ever walked out of, I was very young and I was seeing it with my father, and you guys, it's a callback to earlier episodes of the podcast, Ice Pirates. I knew we'd get this reaction. That's why I had to bring it back and, say it.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Who walked out?
My father and I both walked out.
Did you want to walk out?
I don't even remember. I just remember.
Do you want to see the movie again to see if you want to walk out?
I assume what's happened was the movie was amazing, and his father was very sad that they had to leave, but he didn't think Ben was old enough to hear about space herpes.
Correct.
You know, my father is a big science fiction fan, and there's some holes in his science fiction knowledge, I just don't understand. When I was like 6 or 7 or so, he went to the library with me, and they at this time the VHS tapes. Yes, I'm dating myself.
Say beta tapes.
The reel to reel.
They were in like brown cases. They didn't
those
have
like
the
plastic.
And we were looking through the things, and he's like, "Oh, Alien. This looks good. This looks like a movie that we like science fiction movies. We should watch Aliens." I don't think I slept for about 2 months after the chest burster scream.
I will still stand. That was the right move. You needed to see that movie.
Oh, believe me. I actually, like, a few years later, I skipped out of school because I wanted to see Aliens. So I went and, like, rented the movie and got busted for it.
Andy has a story that he can tell along the same lines. But first I'll say my story, which is the same film. We were on a family trip visiting, and all the adults went out to, like, go to dinner or whatever. And I was, like, 8. And they're like, Nathan won't burn the house down. We don't need a babysitter. Fuck them. So they just left me. Like, they put me in my bedroom. They're like, just entertain yourself, watch some TV.
So much.
And they leave, sure, you know. And so I found, like, the skin collection. No, what it really was is my uncle, he had a Betamax of Alien. And so 8-year-old Nathan's like, ooh, I like Aliens. Mm-hmm. Plunk. And that fucked me up forever.
Still.
Meanwhile, Andy.
Yeah, my story is very similar. I figured out how to use the Beta player. And one of our few movies that we owned was Conan the Barbarian. So if you've ever seen Conan the Barbarian,
which I have,
lots of boobies, lots of violence, lots of blood, and things that can scar a small child. And I remember watching this. It was very early in the morning. I figured out how to use it probably around 3 o'clock in the morning. My mom comes wandering out of the bedroom because she heard noise. And she's like, oh, goes back and gets my dad. My dad comes out, turns off the Beta player. But that was right after Arnold Schwarzenegger just chopped off James Earl Jones's head, held it aloft in the air, and then threw it down the stairs, which is the very end of the fucking movie. And for the next, like, 2 weeks, every time I close my eyes, all I can see is rolling heads downstairs.
And it's funny because there's only, like, 2 more minutes of the movie, and those 2 minutes are really peaceful and nice and calm. Like,
nope.
You end on that image.
Yeah, of James Earl Jones' head just rolling down the stairs. Oh, there's a lot of wrong about that film.
There's a lot of right about that film.
No, I mean...
A super subtle thing that maybe it's not super subtle. Maybe I'm just dumb. But when he gets chased onto the rocks by the dogs, and then he finds the Atlantean sword, the next time you see him, he's wearing like a fur coat because he killed the dogs.
Oh, that's nice. That's
I had never noticed that. He came out and killed some fucking dogs and made himself a dog coat.
Nice.
Yeah, there's so much...
So he's Cruella de Vil.
Well, you know,
that is probably by far one of my favorite films of all time. That and Smoking the Bandit.
It's got Mako. Any movie with Mako. Anything with Mako.
No, Travis, the Quebec Breast Cancer Brawl team names would not make me happy because they didn't enter it in Conflict Chamber. Boo.
Oh.
Well, that's where they would make you happy if you saw them in Conflict Chamber.
Yes, 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 yes.
But you don't see them in Conflict Chamber, so you're not happy.
Yes.
But yeah, no, Conan the Barbarian.
I like Conan the Destroyer. Fight me in real life.
That's fine. It's just
that's another bad movie that you can drunk watch along the same lines as Face Off. I'm sure they're equally highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't think the Destroyer is really that high.
No.
I know Red Sonja is definitely not that
high
either.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
What's Beastmaster at?
Interesting thing. Nathan probably knows about this, but Thulsa Doom is actually not Conan's villain. The main villain that's in Conan the Barbarian, that is Thulsa Doom. That is actually Kull the Conqueror's villain. Huh. And in the Kull the Conqueror show, whatever villain was in there was actually a Conan villain.
Yeah.
The one with Kevin Sorbo.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's both by the same writer. I mean,
They're both Robert E. Howard stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just interesting that Thulsa Doom is, in fact, Thulsa Doom is actually Cole's like big major,
yes, yes,
major villain. So, yeah,
huh? Fun fact.
Yep.
The other of the other fun, you know, overlap Conan villain fact is the fact that the Conan stories and the Lovecraft stories canonically take place in the same universe. Hmm. So a lot of the Lovecraft artifacts will be the ring of such and such, you know, like they'll have the ring of Thulsa Doom or something because it'll be in those same mythos.
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, that's in Arkham Horror, there's a way to get to Hyperborea.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is because they were pen pals, and so they decided to work each other's stuff. And so there's Lovecraftian shamblers in some of the Conan stories, and then the Conan wizard artifacts show up in the Lovecraft stories.
Really, you need to go and read some like original Conan books and stuff like that.
You should. So. Most of them are public domain, so you can just get them. Hour of the Dragon is the biggest like full-size novella, and it's very, very good. My favorite shorter story is Red Nails. It's very good. It's very Fistful of Dollars, Yojimbo-esque, like with the two sides and the guy trapped in the middle.
That's always good.
Yeah, yeah. So Red Nails, read Red Nails. Okay. And then if you like Red Nails, just read a shitload of other ones. But that's a good starter one.
Apparently you should check your phone.
Yeah, Travis sent me the list of teams from the Breast Cancer Brawl.
Are they all exactly what we would expect them to be?
Not all of them, but most of them.
Because this day and age, we might get in trouble.
We have hard nipples.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Competitits. Boobs Are Us. Something in French. Lords of the O-Ring. Another French thing, another French thing. We got Double D. Boob and Weave.
Okay, at least that one's slightly clever.
Breast Friends.
All
right. Semi-hard nipples. Saggy tits. Wow. Sherby's soft tits. Bienvenue chez les chetites, Nipple World Order, Total Recall. Why there's just Total Recall? And the French ones are probably boob-related as well. Les Saints d'Esprit, Les Rons de Quick.
I like
Les Trois Totons de Grimoire. So the three tits of the book? I don't know.
Well,
I can try Google Translate.
Well, maybe that's where Total Recall comes out—the woman with the three.
Oh, sure, yeah, that might be a lady with three tits.
You
good way to decode it. Yeah.
Oh yeah, total. Yeah, good call. Good call.
I like competitits, and I like what was it? Was it boob? No, boob.
Nipple World Order.
Nipple World Order. I think that one. And then there was one that was right before that too. I can't.
Wow. Okay, Les Trois Totons de Grimoire translates to the three Totons of Grimoire. Thanks, Google.
Interesting.
I'll check the other ones in the meantime, but talk amongst yourself.
We were talking about that.
Well, okay, you can just stare at me while I translate more stuff.
That's fine.
Stare.
Elaine and his saints. That's not boob related at all. Jerks. Let's see what Les Rons de Quick.
We have an offer to translate from French in the chat.
Well, you know, this is faster. Quick rounds. Okay, sure. So they probably do a lot of assassinations. So that's a war machine related one. And then lastly, no, that's everything.
ATC, let's do this.
Huh?
ATC, let's do this. Adepticon, let's do this.
Yes.
Huh. I'm sure there won't be any good puns with Guild Ball. This shouldn't be a problem whatsoever.
Travis, what are you wanting us to do?
Is have
breast-themed team names for everything?
That's nice, actually.
Ghost titties.
It's so poetic.
Ghost tits!
So I guess we could talk about a little about the ATC. ATC is happening in January
13th
and 14th, right?
Yep. You only have about two more weeks to sign up. We have a few more teams sign up today, so they continue to trickle in. Everybody's waiting until the last minute like they did last year. So,
we already have more teams registered than previous years. This is already the largest ATC, and it's getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
It's really hot in here for some odd reason.
Even with the window open.
I have a window wide open.
Not wide open.
I'll make it wide.
Yes.
And it is Guild Ball ATC this year as well.
Yes.
So, gotta get my plug in.
Guild Ball ATC, yes. And hopefully next year we'll have some more structuring so we can make sure it's actually added to the WTC.
Yep.
Yeah, it's too early.
This year it was kind of, we were kind of last minute in trying to get into it, and they're not ready to start anything with WTC yet.
Yeah. So. It's a little bit too early in the year. I also tried to make the regular qualifier to be a SteamCon qualifier, and I almost got that, but we don't have enough people for it. Yeah. So
Travis mentioned that we have more teams signed up, but we still need more solo masters sign up. Yes. So if you're out there and you're thinking about it, do come. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Jeff, are you coming to the ATC?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Well, everybody here except Jeff will be at the ATC. So you should come out and harass us.
We could possibly convince Jeff to come help out with the ATC. We probably can't convince Jeff to come out and play in the ATC.
No.
Have you
don't
played
do
Guild Ball?
I have. A whole two games.
Well, there you go.
Perfect.
You're qualified. I have people I can hook you up with to play.
Yeah, Jeff actually...
You can play on Jackie's team.
She does Guild Ball too?
No. Her
okay. Has Jackie played Guild Ball?
No, her War Machine ATC team playing is not knowing how to play is not required.
Well, the nice thing about the team events is you can lose every round and your team can still win.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the kind of the cool thing about Jeff is Jeff normally D&D's on Thursdays, so getting him down to the store is kind of hard to do, but he came down and. I think we just taught him how to play just a regular game. And then next time he ended up coming down, I lent him my engineer team. And then he was sold because I think he went to the store and bought both boxes.
Yep. Still waiting for one of the two teams to show up. But yeah.
I've been playing engineers pretty much solid for the last 2 or 3 months. And that's why I'm going to be playing at SteamCon. So yeah, they're really good right now.
I might take a look at it, but lists are too easy to write.
For Guild Ball?
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
It's really easy.
It's going to get even easier soon, too.
Maybe. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they're changing it somehow.
They're making it so each guild is getting a sub-guild.
Yep.
Yeah, kind of like a minor guild. Minor, not minor.
It could be minors.
It could be minors, but not
minor. Not minors, minors.
Blacksmiths, minors.
Yep. But each one, once they actually
release them. Do blacksmiths normally recruit children?
Yes.
No, like people who work in a mine.
Mine?
Yes.
Yours?
Mine.
So children work in mine?
Mine.
Yours?
Mine.
So mine has children, but yours has adults?
Yes.
Mine. Okay. Blacksmiths?
But, so each one of the teams, or each one of the guilds is getting a sub-guild, or kind of like a...
Six-man team, basically.
Like a six-man team. So basically it's going to bring up their average to 18, I think, for each team.
So like the one they've announced is the Morticians are getting the Ratcatchers Guild, which last year at SteamCon, they did something really cool, and they did this year as well. They had a panel where they designed a player, like actually had the 3D designer up there sculpting it, and they're like, oh, change this. They designed the background for the player, the rules for the player. They 3D printed the player out and had him painted at the event. And this year, everyone who comes to SteamCon is getting a free version of that player in their swag bag for free.
That still seems like not enough list building complexity.
Yeah.
It's
pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I mean,
no interest then. No, sorry.
There are flavor of the weeks, Dave. There's a lot of flavor of the weeks in there.
Yeah, you want complex list building, but haven't half your lists been like three of the same model type again?
That's the thing. It's like I could add it to Conflict Chamber, and it's like, okay, just a bunch of check boxes. Like, okay, yes, my list is these guys. Yeah.
Yeah, and have we decided on how we're doing the list handling for that? Or are you just having it where they just choose a guild?
Well, choose a guild, submit your 10 players. Okay. So,
did you two... Jackalopes ever answer the question that I asked 14 times?
You've asked the
one captain.
What captain?
Yes.
You can play multiple captains. It's exactly the same as the... Oh, are you talking per team?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. one captain per team of... You can't play like the same captain
each
across
two players. Each team can only have one instance of each captain.
Exactly.
Yes.
You could both have them in your list. Like if you have two Union players and a Butcher's player... The two Union players could actually have all three captains listed in their list.
Right? No. No. We're saying the opposite. No.
All right.
Which matters for matchups.
It does.
You know, yes, that way correct. You're like, they have Joe Anvil, and I don't want to play against Joe Anvil.
Funnily enough,
Anvil is one of the characters.
Yes. Right.
He is a captain, and unfortunately, he is part of a team that has potentially six captains.
Well, no, because that makes it a great example, because then that team can, with stuff, and there's that Rick guy.
Yep.
Here's Rick. We don't have another microphone. Sorry, Rick.
So this is suddenly getting complex enough that I might have a point of doing something about it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, that's the same role that we have in the War Machine event, where each person, it's just instead of your teams, when you get to the table, the two players doing list chicken with lists, like in War Machine, they'll just do captain chicken.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I mean, whatever.
So generally what happens is the first thing you do before you roll dice or after you get your plot cards is you pick your captains.
But each team can only have one instance of each captain is the important thing.
Yes.
Good.
Blacksmiths screw things up, though, so I have to think about that a little bit, because there's six possible captains.
So?
Three possible out of the box that's going to be playable. So,
which one? If you're doing Blacksmiths?
Mm-hmm.
No, if you're doing Blacksmiths, you're just kind of fucked.
Yeah. Why are you fucked?
Well, not fucked, but I mean, you have one out of three of the casters. Plus, you only have choice of six players.
Every game you pick one of the players.
No, I know. How many leaders does the average guild have?
Two.
And they have
three
six.
For one of the guild.
Well, they have three currently right now. The second box is not.
They would have six if the second box was legal.
But it's not. It's three.
Yeah.
So most have two. They have three.
Yep.
Why does this mean they're fucked? They have an additional choice.
True.
Why? What's? They're I don't
also
see the
limited,
problem.
They're also limited by they cannot take any union members. So they have everyone else is going to turn into a list of six.
Yeah.
Or a list of 10. Blacks. If anybody's taken blacksmiths, they're going to be turning in a list of six.
Because that's all the options.
So when I said how many do they have, and you said two, you meant to say 10. And when I said the blacksmiths had three, you meant to say six. And 10 being bigger than six makes more sense than three being bigger than two. Now I understand your point.
What are we talking about?
Yes.
Well, because you told me they had more choices and that this was bad for them, and that was confusing. But you were glossing over the fact that because they can't take whatever the hells, they actually have fewer choices.
Yes. Yes, sure.
Yes.
Yes?
We've gotten to the point that the answer to the question is sure.
Yes, I think we're on the same page now.
Blacksmiths.
No
are,
one else is.
Blacksmiths are a weird... They're a weird guild because they're the only guild in the game right now that does not have a set captain or a set mascot. And they just don't have mascots.
But more importantly, they have six possible captains compared to the 10 that everybody else has. Or was that not your point?
That wasn't the
point. No. So, okay.
Let's first of all establish, do you care?
Well, now I care because it doesn't make sense that you're like, well, they have three, so they're fucked. And I'm like, well, how much does everybody else have? And you're like, two. So why are they fucked for having three?
So, all right.
Like, do you see why that's confusing?
I see why it's confusing.
So a normal Guild Ball team is basically two captains,
sure,
two mascots, and then eight players.
Right.
That's a normal Guild Ball team with options for union members.
Okay.
All right. That's for basically 11 of the guilds?
10
of the guilds. Blacksmiths...
Most of the guilds.
Most of the guilds. Almost all the guilds have that same type of makeup.
Nigh universally.
Yes.
Blacksmiths, on the other hand, they have only currently right now available six players, and three of those players, which are masters, could be considered... A captain.
So it's not that they have fewer captains, it's that they have fewer players.
Yes.
They have completely fewer players right now.
Which nobody ever mentioned until this point.
Yeah. Same thing with farmers. Farmers are in the same boat as well.
This is true. This is why so many people are asking you questions about whether they can bring that other box of stuff.
And then right now, no. If you guys want to bring blacksmiths too, you could sure as heck play them on the side, but you cannot play them in the events.
Well, you can play the sixth man that's out.
Yeah.
So... But you probably wouldn't because
things that are not universally released at the time of the ATC will not be playable at the ATC. And this is true of both games.
Yep.
Please note in case if you're expecting a model to be out from the point of list lock to ATC and there is a manufacturing delay, you should get in touch with us as soon as possible so you can submit a proper list.
Yeah.
The person the engineers who sent me, are good in Guild Ball.
Is this confusing enough?
They were terrible. They made them better. They were originally so bad that there was like a challenge out there where the first person to actually win an event with engineers got like a prize.
$100.
And it took a long time for that to be, actually, to be claimed.
Yeah, it did. The engineers were terrible.
They were fucking awful.
They,
it took like 6 months for it to be claimed. It was pretty terrible.
Engineers actually just got, they got the, they had a Union and Chains event. Kind of a community event that is happening over the past month and a half or so, where they had a Union player, which is just the mercenaries for all of you War Machine minded people, a mercenary player that was fighting over two different factions. So each one of those factions would try to fight to get that person to be into their guild.
So it's like the Holden thing.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. It's almost exactly like that. And what happened was is that there was a fight between alchemists and engineers, which engineers actually pulled it out at the last, not at the last minute, but they pulled it out to get that Harry the Hat added to that team.
I wish Holden had ended up in Convergence. It would have been great to have a character, yeah, and just take an NPC and shove his soul in a cage.
At least Privateer didn't do what Steamforge did here. So with Holden, they waited until after he was already made, as in what faction he was going to be before they released the sculpt, to try to get people motivated to fight for their factions.
They showed possible they showed sculpts.
All the sculpts.
And they were really nice sculpts, too.
For all the characters and divided up. And it was kind of heartbreaking to see some of them lose because you lost like this really cool-looking veteran caster. The Harry the Hat one is amazing one, though.
It's a little girl with a giant, like, stovepipe hat on. And
with gears pasted on, like you gears. Do for all Steamforged stuff.
Sure.
And a mechanical arm. Yeah. So, she's missing an arm. So.
Yeah, she looks awesome. The Butchers actually went into SteamCon UK losing by a pretty good percentage. And the people at SteamCon, because they gave out, like, one last day of results turn in. And the Butchers players at SteamCon fought and got their character added in as a veteran character.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a nice thing they did.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And that's why Blacksmith are fucked.
That's exactly that's why Blacksmith are fucked.
Okay.
They didn't have a choice.
No, after Blacksmith's 2 box comes out, they'll be fine.
They are really good.
Well, then that's a very taunty thing to mention after banning it from the event.
Yes.
Well, they're not banning it. I mean, it's not out retail.
Doesn't exist. Yeah,
it doesn't exist to the general populace. I mean, maybe if they were selling it direct on the website at the same time, but they're not doing that. I mean, we're not running into a Butcher 3 incident.
No.
Which that was... That kind of sucked for everybody who didn't have Butcher 3 when they made them legal at Gen Con that year.
It's kind of awesome for those of us who had Butcher 3.
It was pretty awesome at that point because he was broken as shit.
Those were glorious days. I had so much fun with him. Just playing Butchers, that's all. So, it's one caster I'm keeping from Kador's, Butcher 1.
I didn't keep any Kador casters. I actually might still have an old witch like in a box.
Don't you have your Sorsha in Battle Group?
No, I don't have that stuff anymore. I got rid of all that. No, but I had an old witch in Scrapjack that I bought for like $1 out of a bin at Adepticon. They were literally spray painted with like red house paint, like Krylon.
Oh.
Yeah, there was no details or anything. And so I think they're just in like a corner buried.
Did I bring that back from you for some event? I think I did.
I don't know. I was showing her off. I might have just given her to you. I don't know where it is.
You should put her in a huge base and be your other old witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. For when I was using her as a proxy for my old witch games, I was using old witch and Scrapjack. Jesus.
Wow.
Just threw her onto a huge base.
My wife wants to play Grimkin with old witch 3 now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Good luck with that model. Carving out all the railings on that.
Just use a Dremel. Haven't you ever heard of a Dremel?
Oh, my God. That guy was just rudely aggressive before. I was just making some comment about my carving out of the old witch railings, and then he's like, why don't you just use a Dremel? I mean, I do, and I'm good. And
I don't remember those words coming out of his face.
Those words are pretty close to that.
You know, when I think of people assembling things, Andy is not at the top of my list of people.
No.
I'm pretty horrible.
He's terrible.
Andy assembles garbage.
Yes.
I do.
Rick, do you want to come sit and talk for a while? Rick, come sit and talk for a while. No, I want you to sit on the chair. No,
Rick can take my spot.
No, I got to go to the bathroom anyway. That's my cover story.
Haven't you just been...
No, I blew my nose.
Okay.
And then while I was in there, my body, like, I came back and they're like, hey, how come we didn't pee while we were in there? I'm like, because I just needed to blow my nose. And my bladder's like, no, that's not true.
I want to go to that party.
Yeah, exactly. It felt left out.
It's a good story.
Also, I've lifted this up and even put it to my mouth like 13 times and I've never gotten around to actually drinking it. So now I won't be talking so I can go drink it.
All right.
On the way to the bathroom, not in the bathroom.
Because that would be weird.
You could refill it.
Bathroom bourbon, right?
Yeah, I'll bring it back and you won't know if it's bourbon or not.
I think we'd know pretty quick.
Would we? Well, would we really?
You know.
You tasted my pee, Andy.
I have.
Are you sure?
We went to a weird place here.
When were we not in a weird place?
Soak your Dremel in airbrush thinner.
I don't think that works.
That seems like a bad idea.
Nick, I have to know that now. Was that supposed to be a joke?
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun,
real-time dun, conversations dun. With Twitch chat.
Nobody listening knows what you're referencing. You need to tell them the joke that you're asking about.
Yes, non-Euclidean Nick just said soak your Dremel in airbrush thinner. And yes, somebody else said that. But yes, Nick said, is that a joke or not? Because I'm honestly confused.
All right. So
I'm confused. That's not all that uncommon.
Going over my post about the old witch in the railing carve out, somebody posted a picture of the Dremel. It said they make this thing called a Dremel.
Oh, that's not sarcastic.
Yeah. And then I said they make this thing called a mangled pile of resin. In which then he responded, and I think he meant this to be lighthearted. It didn't come out lighthearted to me when I first read it. It was like, I didn't have any issue cleaning mine, but then again, I have patience and talent.
Wow.
So that's I kind of took that a little rudely. I didn't respond to it that way, but you know. But man.
The only way that could have been worse is if he said he had patience, talent, and a magnificent beard.
Aww. Thank you, Gabe. I'd like shuckingly kick my foot, but I would hit the table.
Okay, so Nick was referencing another Facebook blow up about Windex versus airbrush thinner, which is a religious debate, really. Yes. So
yeah. So
well ventilated area.
Yes, but
don't care. Well ventilated.
Rick needs to be a little bit closer to
that. Oh, sorry, it's down at like Nate level here.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, if you're going to use a airbrush cleaner, I mean, that's airbrush thinner is fine, but. I mean, Windex works just as fine, too. I mean, always wear a mask. I mean, you don't want those particles going into your lungs either way. Even if you're using water, you want to wear a mask.
Yes.
Because, you know, atomized paint is not good for lungs.
Yes.
Yes, well, my lungs are black from years of smoking, so I'm trying to fix that. So I'm just going to inhale a lot of pink paint.
Oh, yeah. That works.
So you paint over the black lung.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way it right? works.
Yeah. Yeah.
That checks out. The science in that checks out.
Painting with Jeff. Just a shot of him taking this airbrush straight into his mouth. And I paint the happy forest.
Speaking of which, have you seen the new Deadpool trailer?
Yes, I did, and I was, I didn't like it.
No?
No.
It's Bob Ross, so thus it's funny.
It's, I like the take on it. I think it's cute, but at the same time,
They ran with the joke too long.
It was a really long fucking trailer for a goofy joke.
Yeah. I mean, it was no Guardians trailer or anything like that, so.
It was no Thor trailer either.
Yeah, that trailer is amazing.
Speaking of trailers, I really wish they would have left out the part where the Hulk shows up.
Yeah, that would have been
because cool. The way that the movie was going, if you guys haven't seen it,
I haven't seen it.
The trailer for Thor?
Yes.
Okay, so you, but anyway, so the it's whole also on the, poster. The whole movie is going basically like he's on that planet. He's going to end up fighting somebody. They don't know who it is. It's just this. It's the guy's major champion. And blah, 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 blah. You don't know who it is until literally the scene that you see in the trailer, he pops out. which would have been fucking amazing if there was no mention of the Hulk until he showed up then.
Yes.
It would have been probably one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, that would have been
I think that's one of the things you can probably blame a focus group for that.
Yeah. Fuck them. Oh. It's like, Thor needs a buddy. Well, yeah, he does, but we don't need to give it away in the trailer.
Mm. Well, no, but without the Hulk in the trailer, people didn't want to see it. They were bored. It was just another Thor movie. They've been bad, and, you know.
True. Ah. But, that part would have been fucking awesome. Nathan's taking a poop, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he taking it? It's been a while.
I don't know. So, Rick, what's been happening in your neck of the woods? Other than people fucking with your trees and your property line.
That was lame.
Well, you got to tell it. Nobody else knows what this is, and it's entertaining enough.
My wife and I bought a farm 2 years ago, and we...
You bought the farm?
Yes.
Aw. I'm sorry for your loss.
Anyways, so we planted like 40 oak trees that first year. First fall, right about this time of year, snowmobile group came through, didn't talk to us before they came on the property. We weren't there, and they ran their deck mower for the path right over a corner of our property, took out a bunch of our trees. We're like, oh, that sucks. So call them up, bitch them out. They moved their trail. They're like, great. So last year, bought 40 more trees, planted a bunch of them. Just went out to, put tree stakes in and everything for the winter. And, the township guys had mowed like 50 feet out from the road and took down a bunch of the same trees again.
It's
like, seriously, I just want some damn oak trees.
You're going to have like one patch that's really tall and then like one patch that's really small.
Well, they're oak trees, so my great-great-grandson will have...
That's fair.
Some trees that are really, really tall and some trees that are not noticeably different.
For next year. And so in addition to oak trees, you just need tank traps to go with them.
Some people had some great suggestions on Facebook. There's tank traps, some barbed wire fences, boulders.
How legal are landmines?
I believe that was also an option presented.
I've watched a lot of Vietnam films. Punji sticks? That's what we want to do? Set up some kind of man traps?
Seems economical.
Yeah.
At the very least.
Yeah. But bamboo doesn't grow in the area, though, so that's going to be true. Kind of the issue, importing bamboo.
Well, you could go to, like, Pier 1 or something like that.
Do punji sticks sure have to be bamboo? Can't you just use any kind of sharp stick and set it up that way, though? Because we can find sharp sticks around here.
We could find sharp sticks. That is something that we could do. I think bamboo would work better, though.
We could also sharpen more sticks.
Yeah.
I know that's a lot of work, but it's something that is possible for us to do.
Well, there's the question. Is it actually more work to sharpen sticks or to find sticks that are pre-sharpened? Because there's a non-trivial searching aspect to that.
That's true.
Could we actually build a barricade? Like you would for around a castle.
Like cage in my trees, a little moat around each one.
Some Les Miserables type stuff.
A moat would be kind of cool. It's just an actual moat. We have some issues with the snowmobilers coming through.
We seem to be slowly turning Rick into Lord Humongous here.
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. If he walks out in the middle of winter wearing like nothing but a hockey mask and a loincloth, and then just tells all the kids to just walk away,
they'll probably listen.
I'd be there for that. I mean,
the nice thing about being out in the boonies is nobody comes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously, I could walk out in nothing but a loincloth, and nobody would call the cops.
And often do.
Yeah. Shh, don't tell everyone. No, but I was thinking, like, you could actually build, like, I'm not sure what it's called, but it's just like a row of spikes around your front yard, too.
I'm just amazed that a county guy or a township worker decided to do, like, 8 passes with a deck mower.
Yeah,
on my property.
More than what he actually needs.
Seriously,
to do.
It's like, who's got that kind of work ethic? I need to hire this guy for something. Something that keeps him off of my property.
Planting trees, apparently.
I was going to say, maybe he could work your fence.
No, the fence is all, that's all an entirely different horror story. Oh, bad contractors.
Well, I don't think we actually had many zappity grumbles for this. For our podcast here. I have a message from Rick saying that he's right here.
Hey.
Hey, Rick. When are you going to be here?
A little bit ago.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the topic I was talking about before, it seemed like it was a really kind of odd topic about the old witch and her front grating on there. It looks like that the original specs of it were supposed to have it be cut out. But when they made the mold, which you can't make a mold with, you know, holes in it. So when they made the mold, it made it so it had a very thin layer piece of resin that would be in between the pieces. And it looks like the painters just didn't cut it out.
Oops.
Whoopsies. So if you look at the painted version of the old witch, it's solid metal. And then you have ropes phasing through that metal.
Magical.
Looks a little weird.
She did. 909 is saying, which is better, Justice League or Thor?
I don't think any of the room's actually seen both.
No. Yeah,
no one.
I haven't seen Thor yet, so.
Do you mean Thor, Thor Ragnarok or Thor?
I can say the JLA is better than Thor original.
I mean,
original Thor, yeah.
I don't know.
Original Thor was very bland.
Original Thor was solid. I mean, it was very safe. It definitely didn't drone into the current Marvel where it's witty quip, witty quip, witty quip, witty quip. You know, awkward situation, witty quip. I feel like I'm one of the few people that actually really enjoy Thor: The Dark World. I really like
Dark World's good.
They're saying Thor Ragnarok. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it is going to be very difficult for a comic movie to be better than Thor Ragnarok because it was really, really good. And from everything I've heard about Justice League, it was not really, really good.
Hey, so. Not everything.
It was
literally.
Yeah. It was better than Batman v Superman and Suicide Squad.
Yes. You're not saying much.
By a lot.
I know I'm not saying much.
You're not even singing its praises. You're just saying, yeah, it wasn't bad.
I will sing its praises a little bit.
A little bit.
I mean, okay. I liked it. I would say it's not as good as Wonder Woman, but it's not that far below Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman to me felt it feels weird. It felt like a Marvel movie in a DC world.
This feels like a Marvel movie too.
Yeah.
I really liked Wonder Woman
up until like the very like last 20 minutes. The movie kind of crapped its pants. Really. You were going somewhere good.
My main issue with Wonder Woman is that for a lot of it, it seemed like they were simultaneously redoing both Saving Private Ryan and Captain America: The First Avenger.
Yep. Yep.
There were so many things that were just directly in there, like the plot.
But it was World War I.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. You got me there.
Correct.
That's kind of the issue I have with some people. Are like, oh, and not saying that your opinion's wrong here, but like, oh, it's just a retelling of Captain America: The First Avenger, it's just Wonder Woman versus Nazis. Like, no, World War One.
No, I didn't say any. I didn't say it was Nazis. It was just that there was the clock tower scene in Wonder Woman was like scene by scene out of Saving Private Ryan.
Yep.
It was really weird. That I mean, I'm not sure if it was supposed to be an homage or just a direct ripoff. But
it's been long enough that it could
actually
have been
World War One was much more contained. You think that's the only thing that happened in World War One?
There's just one big clock tower battle.
Yes, yeah.
It's just clock towers all the way down.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok was amazing. So you had to tell the time somehow, and it had to be all clock towers.
Yep.
Everybody is looking at the clock tower, so now we have 80 different versions of the clock tower battle.
Everybody's looking at me, and now I can just shoot them because they're all looking at me.
That's the way it works.
Great sniper's nest. But yeah, I didn't see anything for any zappity grumbles. So, burp.
Zappity grumble.
So are you going to do this for another 5 years? Another 200 episodes? What are you thinking, Andy?
How many more can we do? I don't know.
I don't know. Nathan seems to think he's going to expire in 2 years.
Yeah, I think we have 2 years left. When Nathan expires will be the year that we stop.
Like,
don't do it, Nathan. Put the gun down. Nathan, put the gun down.
We'll have an open casket funeral and just put a mic right up to it.
Nathan, not the stairs.
I know how I'm going out.
Stairs.
I am dying. I am leaving this world the same way I entered it, which is screaming with rage and covered in somebody else's blood and naked.
Do you want a mic back?
Yeah, you're all right.
Yeah, we're good. We're gonna be talking about.
Fuck off.
Okay.
Burn.
We're just gonna talk about some recommendations, and then
I tried doing that website you linked on Facebook, but it wouldn't let me select married, and so I gave up.
What? Link?
Yeah, what now?
He had a link where you could check out
how your taxes will be fucked up because the Republicans are the devil. And I couldn't pick married, and I think it's because it wasn't optimized for
phones. Under the Republican system, nobody's allowed to get married.
Yeah. That's the only way they could get rid of gay marriage is just by banning marriage entirely.
Oh, yeah. I'm a grad student. I'm completely fucked if it passes.
Yeah.
You're not making much. Several million dollars every year, so yes, of course. Yeah.
I'm poor. I better vote for him.
I may not be rich right now, but someday I will be.
God, that Futurama quote is the most correct thing ever, and...
It's true.
Anyway, fuck you. Wonder Woman wasn't just a ripoff of Captain America First Avenger.
It was... noticeably derivative.
It's similar things. Similarities.
I'm sorry that a melee-based combat hero in a European war seemed similar to a melee-based combat hero in a European war to you. I'm sorry that punching German soldiers kind of was similar to punching German soldiers. I mean...
Yeah. I don't know. It wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been.
It was better than First Avenger.
Wonder Woman. I would say it's better than First
Avenger. I like First Avenger just fine. That was the good Captain America movie.
I like the first 20 minutes of Winter Soldier. The first 20 minutes is fucking amazing with Captain America running across that ship, bashing everybody with his shield.
Yeah,
when he's taking on George St. Pierre as Bat-Rock. That was fucking awesome.
Yep.
The rest of the Happy Fun Times is
by far. That was mine and Raylene's I Would Have Left If I Knew That You Wanted to Leave movie. Wow. We hated Winter Soldier. It is the dregs of the Marvel Universe to me.
I don't know. I may be rare, but I mean, I think First Avenger is one of my favorite Marvel movies.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, it's fine.
I would say probably behind Thor Ragnarok and Avengers.
Mm-hmm. The three Thor movies are the best.
Me saying that I liked Wonder Woman more than Captain America is high praise because I am, I guess I like the Boy Scouts. Considering I like Superman, I do like Caps a lot.
I mean, yeah, they were both good. I liked Hugo Weaving was really good as Red Skull. Yes. I mean, you know, everything, it was all good stuff. I liked it a lot. I just
Haley Atwell.
Wonder Woman did such a good job, you know, that the like you talk about the clock tower scene, but the difference with the clock tower scene versus anything in Captain America is that she's being a hero. She's not just leading an army.
Well, the clock tower, the thing with the clock tower scene was that it was from Saving, that they had almost exactly the same scene in Saving Private Ryan too, which it's in Saving Private Ryan.
No, up and fuck it up though.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it was an homage or just a direct ripoff.
I was watching something recently, and Saving Private Ryan came up earlier, and I had never thought about this before, but I was watching something about blocking and film and arrangement of scenes so that you can follow multiple threads and everything, and they talked about how the final battle in Saving Private Ryan is terrible. It is an incredibly bad piece of filmmaking. And it's because at any given time, if you look at what's going on, you're like, this is the scene I'm watching. And I said, what's happening in the rest of the battle right now? You'd go, duh. And I'd say, which direction is the front? I don't know. Who's winning? I don't know. You know, like there's a part where in the trench and a tank just comes over the trench behind them. And it's like, oh, look, a tank. Where'd it come from? How? Why? Where did it break through? What led to that happening?
I don't know.
And you never have an answer to that. You see things happening, but you don't see the cause and the effect of those things. You don't feel the tide of the battle. You just see cool little individual set pieces.
I don't know. I disagree with that because I don't think the point that's if you're saying that the point of that scene was to describe the battle. What I got from that scene was the chaos of all of it and just the terror of the time.
I was saying about that too. It's basically because you're locked down into, you know, whatever makeshift foxhole you have. And you may not even hear something rumbling up.
I thought that was the most powerful thing in there was that when the tank was first introduced by the sound and the ground shaking, it was that sense of, oh my God, where the fuck is it coming from? Because everything is shaking.
It's nonsensical for it to be behind them. And you get that terror and chaos, like for the love of God, the D-Day scene. I mean, the D-Day scene, you have that feeling. Like, there's no denying the terror and the chaos, but you also know what's happening. You know your plans. You know that they're using bangalores to get rid of that mound so that they get under the second, you know, trench to be out of fire from the bunker box. You know these things. And the soldiers know these things. And they're terrified in the chaos of battle still, but you can feel and understand the plot line. I mean, if your stance is that it was purposely confusing, I mean, I guess I can't dispute that. But my point is that I don't think that it should be confusing. It can be chaotic without being confusing.
I feel it was. I think it was intentionally to be confusing because they're fighting a, like, with D-Day, they actually have an actual front. They have, you know, where all the bunkers are, and they are advancing on that front. In that bridge battle itself, their front is just kind of like a couple houses and then the bridge. And, you know, it's not an actual front that is. I mean,
but there's still like a point of contact, right? I mean, it's not like they were surrounded from the start. Sure. But even still, it's hard to track. And also, fuck up them. Getting Mellish killed like a piece of shit. And G-Day, G-Dead 909 talking about God of Death throwing swords. What God of Death? When was there a God of Death?
In Thor?
Wonder Woman.
Oh, in Thor? Oh, Hela. Yeah, okay. Did you see Thor Ragnarok yet?
Yeah, I did.
Were you angry at me trolling you last podcast, or did that not catch on? Because you hadn't seen it. You're like, I would go see it tomorrow. I'm like, you're a big fan of the Warriors 3, right? They're in it.
Oh, yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you. Oh, my God. No. In fact, when I saw them, I was like, oh, great. Awesome. Fuck you.
I knew you'd be excited because the Warriors 3 are in it. And you're like, as long as there's lots of Volstagg. I'm like, yeah.
I mentioned it to Jim afterwards, too. I'm like, that fucker Nathan said that. Yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah.
I'm assuming bad things happened to them.
To the Warriors 3, maybe.
Holgrim
does well.
Yeah, he lives a good minute.
they're in the movie.
They are in the movie. Zachary Levi.
They're in the movie. Really? I mentioned, I was like, yeah, I trolled Andy. I mentioned the Warriors 3, and she's like, they were in it?
Yeah. Credits in there. Yeah. It's funny, though, Zachary Levi is also now Shazam.
Yep.
He's playing the genie, the rapping genie?
Yes, yes. Once played by...
He was going for Sinbad.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, yes.
But yeah, no. I don't care about Hela throwing swords. That's just what she does. She is the goddess of death.
They died. She threw a sword and someone died.
Yeah. I mean, that's basically what she does. I'm happy that she wore that style of helmets, like, basically that's I like that
the I can't use doorways anymore helmet.
Correct.
Well, and they did it with Loki too. They were willing to, you know, with the Thor movies, they made a conscious decision to be okay with that stupidity,
because that's what they look like in comics. I mean, that's what Hela looks like. Pretty much her outfit is pretty much almost exactly how you see her in comics.
There's some really good deep cuts in the Justice League as well, as far as like New Gods and things like that. They actually dig into the DC mythos, like Jack Kirby stuff, which is kind of cool. So things, but still, it was nice to see them.
She can use doors because in the movie they make it clear she can slick the helmet back when she needs to.
Yeah, whatever.
Because otherwise it would be one of those major thwarts. Like, hold on, I got to dip down and turn sideways and shimmy a little.
It'd be like climbing stairs to escape a Dalek. You just go through a door to escape Hela. Uh-huh.
I'll throw swords at you till you turn a corner.
How about that Volstagg? He lasted longer than the discount Cary Ewells. Or Elwiz, or however you pronounce the guy.
Yeah, that was Zachary Levi.
Yeah. So, Volstagg lasted longer than that guy.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
I was so proud of myself for doing that to you.
I liked Scourge. I thought he was entertaining throughout the film. I liked his showing off to the gals at the very beginning. I thought that was probably one of my favorite parts of the film. He's good.
I will see it.
I'm not gonna say it, so.
Doug's good. Doug's always saying stuff like that.
Another day, another Doug.
Movie's good, Ben, is what we're getting at.
Yeah. You know what? When we were actually discussing whether or not to see Justice League or Thor, and my niece wanted to see Justice League, and I was
you led her down the wrong path. We get it.
And my reasoning for wanting to go see Justice League was I saw I would have something to talk about on this podcast today.
Because you knew none of us.
I knew no one would see it, but it would be a topic of conversation. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to jump on that sword. I'm going to take that one for the team.
You know who says, Arnold says stuff like that? Doug.
Doug. Yeah, that does sound like Doug. Piss off, Ghost. The thing is that they didn't even need the whole Hela. Like, you could have taken.
Surtur?
The planet he's from. Fucking A. Asgard. You could have just taken everything Asgard out of Thor Ragnarok, added an extra hour on that planet instead, and I would have watched the fuck out of that movie.
Wouldn't that be Planet
more
Hulk?
Jeff Goldblum, more, huh?
Wouldn't that be Planet Hulk?
Very close, but that focuses on, you know, Hulk and not.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't. No, because Planet Hulk is on a different planet. This is more like, yeah.
But the premise bar is pretty much the same.
It does, it does.
You have the Silver Surfer show up briefly in it instead of Thor, so.
Right. But it changed. But even still, just more Jeff Goldblum, more of Doug, more of Cork, more of the maggot whose name Meek. I can't remember. Meek. 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 I think it's
actually
Meek.
Put him in there?
No, it is Meek.
It is Meek. I thought that was just his new Zealand accent.
Yeah, nope, Meek.
This is Meek, yes, Swords for Hands. Like, I want 2 hours of just that planet. Like, the Hela stuff was cool. I wanted Thor 3 and 4, right?
Correct,
like,
correct.
Give me Thor on that planet for 2 hours, and then next movie he can go back and fight Hela.
Sure. Oh, were you one of the people that saw Bill? Did you see Bill?
I saw Bill. I elbowed Ray Lee, and I'm like, Andy's going to love that. Yeah, there's a Beta Ray Bill reference in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
so there's the
my
big,
wife and I both noticed that it was
big
awesome.
Building, and it has Hulk's face right on top because he's the champion. Spoilers from the thing. And they have like these other champions. The second one up is Beta Ray Bill.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay. Yeah. That's so cool.
And the third one up is just this generic guy with like a spike mohawk. He looked like the guys from Gladiator? He looked like the guys from Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, sure.
The one like Steve and Jake who have like t-shirts that say I'm Steve and I'm Jake or whatever. Remember you and I were going to cosplay as them?
I think we're going to. Yeah, we should still do that.
I want to cosplay. I want to get four people and I want to cosplay as the Toon Patrol. But not as weasels, just wearing the same thing. Somebody in a zoot suit, somebody with the propeller hat, somebody with the straight jacket. I think that would be amazing. The human version of the Toon Patrol.
I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dibs on propeller hat.
Perfect. Dibs on straight jacket.
I'll take the zoot suit.
There we are.
We got this.
So now we just need Greasy and...
Yeah, no. I can do Greasy.
Yeah, because there's really, there's like kind of the two zoot suits. Because there's the one in the green who's like the really talkative one, and then there's the more sleazy one.
Yeah. Yeah,
whatever. We'll work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Rick can be Judge Doom.
That fits.
Roger Rabbit reference, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. I got to make sure I'm following along.
You broke Nathan there.
Nathan knows a lot of stuff.
He does know a lot of stuff. That's fair.
So I have a coworker who I hate, and he's terrible because he's a racist old man, and nobody who I work with is going to listen to this, so that's okay. But he's awful, and I hope he dies soon. So I thought I couldn't hate him anymore, but he talks towards me about cars a lot, just like in my general direction, and I don't even smile and nod. Like, I turn to him and say, I don't care. I'm like, I know I have a penis, but I don't care about cars. Like, they're a tool. You yammering about Hemis and woofers and tweeters, whatever the fuck cars have, is the same as if you were talking about your favorite screwdriver. It's just a tool. I use it to do what I need it to use. That's all I care about cars. But he still roars into my brain about it.
You understand. It's a metaphor for your penis.
Yeah. It's got a 467 split W something or another. I don't care. I mean, there's a few cars that I can go, well, that's a fucking amazing car. And I, you know, whatever. I can get that. But in general... don't care. And so, but I do know enough to know to be horrified, and I literally yelled at him when he was telling me about he had a Challenger, like a 1969 Challenger when he was younger, and he was looking at getting a new Challenger, and he saw this Challenger, Dodge Challenger, that he saw like at a store.
Is that how he said it too?
No, well that's, but I'm getting a point. It's a fucking Dodge Challenger and muscle car, right? And he's talking about how he saw one, that it was like the right color and it was all beefy and everything. And he almost bought it, but it was a stick shift.
Oh, my.
And he doesn't want a stick shift. And I'm like, I don't know much about cars, but I know enough that when you buy a fucking muscle car, if that's an automatic, that's like putting ketchup on a steak. Like, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
I'm like, I hate you more for this than for your racism.
I hate him a little bit too right now.
Yeah. Like, you're like 70, I understand why you're racist. I can't explain why you like automatics on your muscle cars.
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm actually looking at one of the new Mustangs, and the automatic in the new Mustang is actually fucking awesome.
New cars, the automatic is actually getting better.
His 69, he had an automatic.
That is a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking classic muscle cars. Yeah. I mean, like, nowadays, I mean, it's almost... Sometimes almost better for the engine.
Yeah,
because at least they have like the where you like slap the thing and you can force a stick.
The new Mustangs have a 10-speed automatic transmission with no parasitic loss that can shift gears in 15 milliseconds. And Nathan has no idea what I just said, but it's a fucking awesome. It's
if I step on the gas, does it go fast? Then
he said it comes with
does it downshift basically?
No, yes. Nathan, it comes with a 10-speed.
Okay.
Just put it on.
Oh,
does it have cards in the wheel so it makes a
yeah,
but yeah, I've looked at some of the schematics for the new. I mean, it's actually a transmission made by Ford and GM worked on it together, so it's in the top end Camaros too. But it's a fucking awesome piece of machinery, and I'm like, yeah, if I got the car, I'm definitely getting that transmission because the transmission is the awesome part of it.
See, all I know is that I like stick shifts. Because making a left turn with a stick shift involves all four of your limbs, and it makes you feel like you're actually driving.
You do feel like kind of a badass.
You feel when you're downshifting and you're turning, like that's awesome. That's a good feeling. That's one of my favorite little feelings in life, you know, is left turn with a stick shift. And I know that my dad had an MGB, and so because that's how human brains work, I want an MGB because in my mind it's the coolest car. And I know that all of the cars in all of the Mad Max movies are awesome. Giga Horse. I want the Giga Horse.
Because also you have the really cool shots of shifting.
Yes.
That happens in all the Mad Maxes. And then you see the...
You know, my father had a Dodge Caravan, so for me that's the coolest car ever.
I had a Ford Probe. My parents got a 89 Ford Probe back when they had Mazda engines in them. And then I decided
I had a Ford Probe.
When I was really young, I decided that I was going to help clean my dad's car for him. And I backed out of the garage with the door open.
Wah, wah.
Oh. Wah, wah. Mm.
My Ford Probe, the hood latch decided that it didn't want to latch. And so I was driving 80 miles an hour back up north from Aurora, Illinois. And all of a sudden my hood's like, hello! Just slammed right up onto the windshield. And that's how you shit your pants. Yeah. Is when you're going 80 and all of a sudden there's nothing to see and glass is flying at you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah.
No, I put my hood down and I could never open it again. And so I cut a hole in the hood so I could jump the battery when the battery started dying because I couldn't open the hood anymore. And then eventually I just left the car in a ditch somewhere. That's how I get rid of cars when they die.
Poor abandoned car.
Yeah, that's how I got rid of my truck. Like one day it wouldn't start, so I went to check the oil and I pulled the dipstick out. I wiped it off. I put it in and then I pulled it out and there's a chunk of the engine just came out with it instead of it just coming out of the tube. That whole tube and everything was tagged out came up. I went, huh. And I threw that in the back of the truck, and I walked home, and I never saw it again. I don't know what happened to it. Someone probably sold it for scrap. I don't know. I was done with it. I don't litter except for entire vehicles. I litter vehicles.
A good car fire here or there.
You do a car fire here?
I said a good car fire here or there.
I thought you do a good... A car fire here and there.
My super nerdy 80s childhood thing is that when I downshift and the car like kind of hesitates and then throttles forward, in my brain I think of that shot of the opening of Inspector Gadget when the van turns into the sports car and then zooms away. You know the shot I'm talking
exactly
about.
I know the shot you're talking about.
That's in my head every time I downshift and accelerate.
I hated that show.
It's fine.
No. I hated...
It's good to have opinions.
I liked.
Yeah, right? Like, even if they're wrong. That's at least a 92% on Tomatoes.
No, not the Matthew Broderick.
No.
No, I'm talking about the TV series.
I don't think the TV series is really that good either. I hated Penny. I hated Penny and Brain so much.
Well, sure.
So much.
Well, everyone did.
Yeah, everybody hates them.
That's the point.
The show's not called The Adventures of Penny and Brain.
But that's kind of what the show was.
Somebody posted recently on Facebook a memory, which was Jason the Wheeled Warriors.
Yep.
We're talking about how great the theme music for that is. And then I proceeded to immediately go, wait a second, what other great movies or television shows had great theme music? And one of them is Mask.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mask Crusaders.
Yep.
Yes.
Hungerford mentioned Pirates of Darkwater on his Facebook wall. And I thought I still say Noinja Tut every once in a while, which was their made up swear word that the little flying monkey would say. Fucking Darkwater was amazing.
Darkwater was great.
Did not get into Darkwater at all.
What's funny is like the first, it was like three seasons. It went for a decent length. And the seasons are relatively well contained because each one they go after a different treasure. And I know too much about the Pirates of Darkwater. But the first like four episodes, it was just called Darkwater. It was actually relatively dark. And then the studio decided to lighten it up and make it more kid friendly. And that's when they renamed it Pirates of Darkwater. And it was a little more wacky.
Mm-hmm. I like how pirates make everything more kid friendly.
Well, because it doesn't start with dark, you know?
And I got the theme music for Mask stuck.
Yeah, me too. That actually happens a lot to me.
You get the theme music for Mask stuck.
Specifically
in your head?
The theme music for Mask.
I've been also been playing a lot of GTA Online, and I was lamenting the fact that they don't have the Airwolf theme music playing every time you get into a helicopter. It's the best thing in the world.
It's a good
song. You jump into a helicopter in that game, and you play the theme music for Airwolf, it's the best.
That is,
you find yourself weaving in and out of trees and shit and flying across the desert. And why isn't the Airwolf helicopter in GTA 5 yet?
The same, it would be overpowered. The same year,
or Blue Thunder.
During Airwolf's first season, there was also a show called Street Hawk, which was about a guy with a super motorcycle. And it annoyed me that those animals were in the wrong places as a kid. I'm like, wolves don't go to the sky and hawks don't go on the ground. Switch them.
What about Thunder in Paradise?
Oh, with the
Thunder in Paradise.
Yeah. First time I heard Final Countdown was on Airwolf. There was an episode that featured Final Countdown, and it got so that they're associated in my head.
What a weird association to have to go through life with.
It's weird, but true. I killed the conversation with that.
Yep. Oh. All right, let's jump to recommendations. There are no zapping troubles that I saw, so we'll jump to recommendations. Rick, what do you recommend? You got to get closer to a mic.
One of you guys. Hey, I recommend trees.
Trees?
Trees.
Trees are good.
All right. You can buy good trees from like your DNR and other farm agencies.
Do not resuscitate?
Department of Natural Resources.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
if it hasn't been shut down by your local government,
yeah, unfortunate but true. No, we get like, I don't know, 40, 50 trees for $100, $200, which is probably overkill for most people. But you get a couple people together, and it's like $100 for dozens of trees.
Yeah. It's a good prank to pull on someone too. Just plant a bunch of trees in their backyard.
Oh, they'll get it in 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's a slow burn.
Like 50 years later, the thing falls over and takes out my porch. Fuck!
Yeah. What you can also do is get a job for the state mowing lawns on the side of the highway. And then what you do, you're paid by the hour. So if you finish, just mow further and further from the lawn. And if there's like shrubs or hedges or trees, just mow right over those. What are the ways that the landowner's going to care?
Well,
right, Rick?
Instead of making their money, because they have to go back to the government and buy more trees, right? See?
Yeah.
The scheme.
Yeah.
You go in and buy more trees from the DNR, and you show up, and it's the guy who cut your lawn.
Is that what happened, Rick?
It could be.
All right. I just like the government's just wrecking Rick's trees. That's a thing that happened to him.
If that's all they're wrecking in your life, then...
Oh, it's not.
I know.
Give it time.
Yeah.
They're ruining his taxes so he can't afford more trees.
Oh. Pretty much.
That's the plan. They kill your trees and then make it so you can't buy more. It's the anti-tree debacle.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, definitely plant trees. It sucks when I see like new roads going up and shit and there's no... And they just cut down trees. Like they're over on M right now. They just cut down almost everything over there. It sucks. We should have more trees.
There's more trees in North America than at any point in recorded history prior. So that's the good news.
Mm. Huh. Really?
Yeah.
It's just not so good when you go to a global scale.
I don't know how it is global. I mean, the rainforests are kind of fucked. But North America specifically, because number one, yeah, we move them like when we do highways and stuff. But we have a surprisingly large number of like parks and whatnot that we put shitloads of trees in. Also, historically, North America wasn't very tree heavy in the first place. There was like plains. Remember how this was the Great Plains? And then we showed up and we're like, well, fuck all that. We'll put down concrete and trees.
Interesting.
Because our parks don't consist of acres of grain. They consist of grass and trees, right? And so we moved them around, but there's a lot of trees. Also, 100% of paper made in America is from trees grown specifically for paper. So don't worry about the trees when using up paper.
I always learn something new.
Yeah. If you worry about trees, give up beef.
Yeah, because that's basically where all that shit's cut down. Yeah. Just to make room for more cattle.
Tiny Toons lied to us.
Tiny Toons never lied to me.
They did. They had the rainforest episode, and the guy was cutting down the rainforest and turned them into toothpicks. And I remember because it was wasted because he put a whole tree in the machine and one toothpick came out.
I do remember that.
Yeah, well, that ain't the shit that's happening. You know, there's nothing wrong with toothpicks. They ain't hurt nobody except for if you, like, stab yourself with a toothpick. But on a global scale, they're not to blame.
If you stab someone else with a toothpick.
I stepped on a toothpick once.
That would hurt.
That sucked. It went in, like...
Yeah, I've had that happen.
Yeah, that sucks. That
was not pleasant.
Toothpicks and Q-tips are the two most important things to me.
You have to choose which one goes in your ear.
I can use them interchangeably.
I like how Q-tips are basically something that tells us never to put into our ears. And we're like, that's the first thing that we do with them.
Yeah.
Because you don't use them for anything else other than...
It's a wink, wink. It's do not use this for the purpose everyone buys it for.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I actually buy them to clean the head off my airbrush, the needle off my airbrush.
Oh, yeah. You could use just normal...
Sure. You can use them for other things as well. Q-tips
better.
Yeah.
That's actually what I use more Q-tips for than anything else.
No, your ears. Get away.
You know, the wax in your ears.
Yeah. I don't like it there. I like it out.
Oh, man. That's...
And then look at it and like, throw it out.
Sometimes a Q-tip in the ear is borderline orgasmic. That's all I'm saying, man. But you get the right spot and you're just like, oh, yeah. Gah.
There's truth to that.
Then you're late to work because you just can't stop Q-tipping.
Exactly. It's raw. Yeah,
just blood just coming out of the air.
I can't stop.
All the cotton's gone. You're just digging the plastic into your ear canal. You punctured the drum.
Oh, not supposed to hate fucking.
That's why
ear.
Q-tips have a flared base on the other end, so you don't go in too far.
Oh, no.
There's that butt plugs.
It's got the other side there, too, because yeah. Like you just, you know.
That's for the other ear. I use one side per ear.
Oh, I use both for one ear.
I mean, I Q-tip like 3 times a day, so there's not enough buildup for that.
I've got like a little thing at work that I use too. It's awesome.
God, I love Q-tips.
Is that your recommendation?
Yeah.
Is
the recommendation. No, not even hygiene, just Q-tips.
Yeah.
Get those shit in there. Get that shit out. recommendations. I'm going to recommend Stranger Things 2.
Ooh, good one.
Who else recommended it?
I don't know. I thought maybe one of us.
Well, you said you were recommending it too.
Yeah, I thought somebody else recommended it previously.
Well, somebody must have if you're also recommending it.
Well, just about everyone in the world is recommending it, so, you know, I'm recommending it too. Yeah, man. Stop picking apart my grammar.
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel you. Stranger Things 2. Should go watch it. It's really good.
It was really good.
Should watch maybe the first season again before, because I know it has a recap in there.
Again.
Yeah, but no. What? What is the quotes on there for?
I haven't watched the first season.
You haven't watched the first. You watched the second season?
No, oh. I haven't watched any Stranger Things.
Oh, you really should.
I know there's like a flower face monster in it.
Yeah. You should watch the first and second season.
Nah.
You and Raylene. I'm Raylene busy. Would probably really.
She watched the first season.
Watch it again with her.
Yeah, she offered. I'm like, yeah, I'm busy playing Gwent.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could almost watch that show and play Gwent, but not really.
No,
because it has a lot of good.
I'm not good enough
at
Gwent.
It's densely packed. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on that show.
There's a lot of it's really good.
Second season is great. Steve is my favorite now.
I was.
He's no Doug.
No, he is no Doug, but Steve is pretty awesome. You got that bat?
Damn straight.
Yeah. Stranger Things. Go watch it. So good. Punisher came out, too. I haven't watched it
yet. You haven't watched that, yeah.
The only thing I know about Stranger Things is I know in the first season some girl dies and nobody cares, and then I know in the second season some guy gets asked for help and then he dies, so don't help people. That's everything I know about Stranger Things. That and a flower face monster. And that apparently they're upside down.
All right, we can do the ask for help thing.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, my brother, he's been
shot. Oh, yeah, he asked for help, yeah. It's demeaning, not for me.
All right.
I will recommend Blanton's single barrel whiskey.
I will recommend bourbon that as well.
Rick, excellent. Did they pour this on you?
No.
Okay, so you aren't Rick number 9. He is not Rick number 9.
There's something about pouring on... Or no, I'm sorry, dumping on Rick number 9.
No, it was stored in Warehouse H on Rick number 9.
Oh, okay.
So Rick was sitting in the warehouse, and they just set this on his head, and that's where they stored it.
Yeah. Everybody needs a hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Is yours having bourbon stacked on you?
Maybe.
Okay.
I'm not
is that how your back got hurt?
Blanton's, the original single barrel bourbon whiskey. Do you drink enough of this that you have like a unit of cavalry models?
Or cavalry I do not actually save them, but I don't know if the company still does. But they used to have a little setting because there were slight differences. There are different tops to it with different settings, and you could get one where you could collect. It had like a little race theme to plug in the
individual. Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
And then once you complete it, they send you the base and the instructions to how to organize an intervention.
Basically, yeah.
You have drunk 14 bottles of whiskey in a year.
Yeah. When you complete it, it doesn't. It only says one thing. But it doesn't say drink more Ovaltine.
Seek help.
Is that a blind horse race where you don't know how fast the horses are going to go?
After a bottle of this, you're blind.
Yes.
Yeah, you should not drink all of this.
It was a genius reference.
Yes. Yeah. God, have you watched all of Genius?
Yes, I was the first one to complete it. I was walking around like threatening to spoil it.
Have you watched Society Game at all?
I have not.
So do you like Big Brother?
No.
Okay. Because Society Game is basically Genius meets Big Brother.
Okay.
So
you have my attention.
Yeah. It's by because they stopped doing Genius, and then the producers of Genius did Society Game, which is currently on its second season. But the first season, I can get you a link to.
Okay.
But they do like Genius games, and then the losing team has to eliminate somebody.
Okay.
So it's team. It's locked in Team Genius, basically.
Okay.
But they also just live out in a they live out in the open, like in nowhere.
So like Survivor mixed with Big Brother
Okay.
I'm down.
Yeah, it's cool. And the interesting thing is that the two teams have different ways of getting leaders, one of which they vote for a leader. The other team is a dictatorship where you have to have like a usurpation to overthrow them.
Oh, that's cool.
It's kind of neat.
Awesome.
It's not as good as Genius though. Because I don't like Big Brother, and so Big Brother mixed with Genius is a downgrade from Genius. Mm.
Genius is amazing though.
But it's still more Genius-esque stuff.
Yeah.
I recommend Legion. It's a flashback because this show, you know, it's old. It's back in February. But yeah, I was talking to people at work who hadn't seen it. I'm going to go home and marathon all eight episodes tonight because I need to watch more Legion.
Where is it broadcasting at?
Yeah, it's not right now. You might be able to. I think Charter Spectrum has it on demand.
Okay. I have it actually on my DVR, so I'll watch it through there.
So you have it on your DVR?
No. Hold on. No, the reason why is because I can watch it any other place.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch it on like Hulu or something like that where I can marathon it that way than
so you DVR. Can buy it for like $1 an episode on Amazon or Vudu or YouTube. I mean, you can buy it, but it's not currently free streaming on either Hulu or Netflix. Mm-hmm. It'll probably be free streaming again later. The season 2 started filming in September, so it'll most likely come out early next year, hopefully. And then because it's a Fox show, they might put season 1 back on Hulu to build up interest for people to watch season 2.
That's generally what they do for.
But the point is, Legion was fucking amazing. So goddamn good.
So good.
So good.
Aubrey Plaza deserves 17 Emmys for that show.
And for Parks and Rec.
Sure. Did you watch Legion?
I've seen most of Legion, and yes, I know I'm crazy for stopping watching halfway through, but I'm going to finish it. I will. I have all the episodes ready to go.
Did you stop watching to play more Gwent? That's the only acceptable excuse.
I'm trying to think of the timing when the beta for Gwent was out, because that's the only time I played Gwent was when it was in free beta.
Ha, it's still in free beta.
That's true.
Yeah, it's been a really long beta.
Yeah. They're still polishing. They had a big update like last week.
It's like Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. That's in beta, still, technically.
Yeah. Well, aren't Rust and DayZ still in beta?
Yes.
Or early access or whatever?
apparently.
Ooh, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
So somebody's got fighting words.
Check out the chat.
What? Look at the chat.
Oh, whatever. Travis hasn't even fucking... Whatever, Travis. Travis probably is either A, trolling me, or just sucks at Gwent. Because... or both.
Probably both.
Gwent is so good.
All right.
Yeah, so
I love Gwent as much as Travis loves Privateer Press.
Wow.
I like this follow-up question, what is Gwent? So there we go. Hey, go on, Jeff.
Oh, no. Well, my recommendation is not topical either. I recommend Horizon Zero Dawn. I picked it up on sale, and it is a very pretty, very fun game, and I love stabbing me some robot animals. Mm-hmm. And flailing around chasing the real ones, because apparently they're immune to my stealth tactics.
The expansion came out recently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still working through the core game. So,
okay. Is that playable by itself, or do you need the original game for it?
I think it's a DLC, not a separate thing.
Because I don't have the original game anymore.
The original, like, I picked it up on sale for $20, and I've heard rumors of it popping up on sale other places too. Yeah. So it's, follow sales on that game.
So PlayStation, do they have that Black Friday yet?
I actually just got an email saying that PlayStation Plus early access for Black Friday is currently live.
I'm sure that's going to be $10, $15 on there. Because, I mean, yeah. That's just how well they do them.
Yeah, and I mean, I forget when Zero Dawn actually launched. So it's
March of last year.
It's been long enough where if they don't put the core game on sale, their DLC is going to suffer a little bit.
Yeah. So Nathan is wearing a pretty sweet Dresden File shirt right now.
With the best character right there.
Butters.
Yeah, Waldo Butters, baby. Polka will never die.
Exactly. So... made me think of other similar series. So I'm going to recommend the October Day series by Sean and Maguire. It's a female-driven, more fae, kind of private investigator type thing. But it's really good. So, yeah. Just another series. It's like up to 13 books, so it's something beefy to dig into. So
I have to learn how to read.
Yeah, there's good audiobooks of them, too.
I can't hear.
Okay.
He's misused his Q-tips for too long.
You could so listen to like the Dresden Files
as I play,
as you paint, as you play WoW, as you do any of that shit.
Yes.
My painting, I have to go through like a series of steps. It's kind of like, you know, like the series of acceptance, you know, of death. That's kind of how I have to go through my stages of painting. I go through my hate paint of. I hate painting base coat. I hate painting stuff on base coat. I hate washing things. I hate this. And then when I put on the final touches of highlights, I'm like, this is the best. I love painting. This is the greatest thing in the world.
So Chad asks, October Day is with D-A-Y-E. Yeah, I know it's kind of annoying. But and it's by Sean and Maguire.
I pulled up the list of games on the Early Access PlayStation Plus Black Friday sale, and it does not have Horizon Zero Dawn on it. But they say there will be more titles when the full thing, it's just the Early Access titles aren't the complete list.
Anything interesting on there?
No.
It's Assassin, a lot of highly
Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, Destiny, all the shit I don't care about.
That's all the new versions?
Madden. Yeah, it's all new stuff. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What's Assassin's Creed at?
Yep, I care about that price. One.
I do like
Well, it's Origins, though, so it's just the Ezio collection, isn't it, or no?
No.
Oh, no, you're right. Origins is different. Right.
Assassin's Creed Origins is normally $59.99 on sale for $41.99. Assassin's Creed Origins Deluxe Edition is normally $69.99 on sale for $48.99. And Assassin's Creed Origins Gold Edition, normally $99.99. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, pretty much.
You lost my attention after the 40.
Can I just give you $60 for a game and play my game? Fuck you.
No, you can pay $6 for a game and then wade through a half mile of microtransactions. Then you can play it.
Yes, and didn't deal with Activision's patented method to make you want to buy to buy stuff with microtransactions by fucking up your pairing.
No, they're going to pair you with people who have gear that you appear to that you want.
Therefore,
you will spend money to buy that gear.
Yeah, that's
to be
what,
fair,
that's
I heard
what I'm
they only bought the rights to that technology, not that they've implemented it yet.
No, they patented it.
Oh, you're right.
They patented the technology to psychologically manipulate you by showing you people that have microtransaction gear.
Well, they just have gear that you would want.
Yes.
That you could be like, oh, that guy just shot me in the face with the Ultra AC-20. which is
I want the Ultra AC 20.
Yeah. Yep. That's what they want you to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they have a patent on it.
Yep.
It's amazing.
The only thing that's surprising to
they
me about that is
they have a patent on me
that...
wanting stuff?
Yes.
That's patently absurd.
All right. Let's call this. I'm tired of sitting down.
I told Raylene I was going to be here till 8.
Oh, well, you can still be here.
I didn't know we were going to start recording at 4.
So come play Guild Ball.
We're going to go play Guild Ball.
Yeah, or throw up in your mouth a little bit.
The problem is, and Andy's always like, oh, I could play Guild Ball. I don't have time to play Guild Ball. I'm busy.
Playing Gwent.
Gwent and Witcher 3. And I'm excited about Witcher 3 because I thought that I had lost. I thought that something wasn't going to happen, and it looks like maybe it might still happen. I'm not sure. I'll have to see once I beat the game if I get the romance that I wanted to get. Nice. I thought I blew my chance with Yennefer, but she gave me a kiss, and that was exciting. Triss was not happy. She gave me a very dirty look. We got back to Kaer Morhen, and Yennefer's like, "Ah, smoochy," and Triss is like, "I will fucking kill you both." I'll bang her in New Game Plus.
Yeah.
Are we killing it? I didn't want to kill it during that conversation. Then it would make.
I'm just going to keep talking so you can't kill it. How about that? My only regret is that what they should do for Witcher 3, and they should go the BioWare route, I should be able to bang Dandelion. Right?
Yeah, I'd at least bang it up for that one. Because you don't know where that guy's been.
That is true.
I played through
Zoltan?
Persona 5 recently.
Yeah.
And you can bang most of the women in that game at one point or time, but if you do at the end of the game, they all find out and come after you in mass.
That's how it is with Triss and Yennefer in Witcher 3, is that you can romance a whole bunch of random people, you know, and even some aren't just like random, you know, one-time things. There's like actual friends and you can romance them, stuff like Kira, but Triss and Yennefer, if you try for both at the end of the game, they both tell you to go fuck yourself.
Nice.
Yeah, they will not play that game. But I was saying, in Persona 5, can you also bang any of the dudes?
No.
See, at least Mass Effect.
Wait, actually, you can form relationships with them. They don't like.
But those are bromances.
Those are bromances. Yeah, they're not romantic. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. At least the Mass Effect games, they're like, fuck it. You want to be gay, be gay. You want to be bi. Bang everyone. We don't care. It's space.
That their cast characters has a combination of gay, bi, and straight too. So it's like, I'm totally gay, and this person's not into that. Oh, well. There's a harsh dose of reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Chad asked who the author was I was talking about. Again, it's Seanan McGuire. So, there you go.
True story.
Zappity. Mm-hmm.
Fine, grumble. Be that way.
Happy five years.
Yay. 5 years. Yeah, I don't know when we're going to broadcast.
See you in 2 more years when they live stream from my funeral.
Well. You need to set up a soundboard of your favorite saying so we can just kind of like put that up and hit it for the podcast.
On the grave?
Walk up. That'd be amazing.
Life means nothing.
Let me tell you about Witcher 3.
Have you played Gwent? Gwent?
Why are you visiting my grave? Go home. Play Gwent.
We'll just add that to the soundboard.
Yeah. It'll just blare that constantly. It'll be solar powered and just say that on a loop.
It'll lose relevance in 30 years when Gwent's been gone for 20 of them. And
it'll be exciting for historians, like 1,000 years from now.
What is this quiz?
Go play Gwent.
Make the sound file now. Go home and play Gwent 4.
Or they'll be like, Gwent, I mean, that's the national sport. Of course we play Gwent.
I'm playing Gwent right now.
Yeah, it's in the Olympics.
It's finally on phones.
It's legally mandated that we must play Gwent at all times. In Poland.
They're going to be on repeat, too.
That is true.
Like you walk up to the airport.
Yeah, you land in the Warsaw airport.
The white zone is for playing.
They stamp your passport and then hand you a Gwent deck.
That would be awesome.
All right, we're calling it. Thanks, guys, for watching. Thanks to our Patreons for supporting us. Oh, wait.
I said yep.
Oh, okay.
No, now we're cutting it.
No.
Bye.